thought it was safe to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Thursday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, where our economy is obviously so solid and it's so wonderful that Costco is selling $200 million in gold and silver bars every month, day 1182. Keep it the Eric in America. Say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Putting the heat in, Heather.
Hello.
Double H is here. Heather has answers in the next hour. Dark history, top of the third hour. Kimmer and Pete, top of the final hour of the program. Your remarks in between from the Florida Man radio app. Well, who is going to continue the search for Nicole and Ronald? Was it Ron? Is that the kid's name? Goldman, Goldman.
Ronald Goldman, Ron Goldman.
Man, OJ, dead at 76. Cancer is the culprit here. Everyone that hears my voice, you know where you were. Is there another mic opener here? It's weird. You know where you were when the Bronco chase went down. You know where you were when the verdict came down. It was literally one of the Bronco chase alone. If you recall, they broke into the NBA playoffs to air some of it. It was one of the biggest events in television history. And it was truly the trial of the century, at least up until Casey Anthony. You know, he had his conviction in Vegas for a weird, odd trying to steal back his stuff thing. Was that what it was?
Yeah, he was trying to get his Heisman Trophy back.
Was he stripped of his Heisman?
He was.
So he had no right. So
I
someone
think
else
had
bought
to it. Sell it. Sell a bunch of the stuff for paying back the Goldman family when he lost the civil case.
Oh, because it had value to it.
Yeah, so he had to sell all his memorabilia and things like that, and then he tried to. Remember, I think the guy was trying to, he was setting up like a sting, like the guy was trying to sell Heisman to someone else.
And he was going
to
go in and get it?
He was going to go get it, yeah.
I remember this moment.
And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? What a season he had. Great, man. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case, all bets are off.
Norm MacDonald had some real balls, man. That was just, whoo, awesome. Do you remember where you were when the verdict was? Where were you?
I was young.
I was sitting in the Lavaca Street Bar at the corner of Colorado and Lavaca Street in Austin, Texas. I just had my partner and I had just had a pizza delivered, and the guy opened the bar up early just for the verdict. And it was, I remember when it came down, you could walk immediately outside and hear horns honking, people screaming, elated people. It was just, it was weird. I don't really. I mean, I believe the guy is guilty and got off on some technicalities. But it amazed me how many people were really pulling for him. It was like a victory for Black America, but not all everybody. But in general, Black people thought it was some kind of a, you know, they didn't get our guy. I think don't get me wrong. Tons of Black people thought he was guilty, but it was just a weird celebration.
Yeah, I think there was a mix of it. I mean, it was one of those where, you know, it was like, oh, the guy, I think everybody took a team. Like, you were either pro OJ or anti OJ. And if you won, you won when he didn't get convicted.
Yeah. Well, that means the Goldmans, I guess, at this point, could go after his estate. Right, they couldn't go after his NFL pension. He made $25,000 a month on the NFL pension. He lives in a in Vegas where it's homestead, just like it is here. So they couldn't take his home from him, and he had no other source of income. He just lived off of that, and they couldn't touch that. And you know, man, 76 years old. Well, that was a great. I mean, it's not great because two people got their heads cut off, but. What a moment in American history. This is a guy who was an all-star USC, Heisman Trophy winner, 11 years with the Bills, and then some few with the 49ers.
Movie star at the
movie
time.
Movie star, total movie star. Hurts, Reynolds, made Dibuku, De Niro, and he just lost it.
Yeah, and it was one of those big cultural moments in U.S. history where – it was that trial of the century at the time, and you had every late-night talk show had something going on talking about it.
Yeah, a lot of jokes flying around.
You had the dancing Idos or Edos or whatever his name was. And,
the dancing Judge Itos. A lot of people, you know, became gained notoriety. Ito, what was the, I'm trying to think of the prosecutor's name, the woman. I forget. And her little assistant, Johnny Cochran, everybody found out who that was.
Yeah, that's why we have the Kardashians.
Yeah. I was unaware that he had cancer. I guess that's how much the world really cared about him.
He came out and talked about it like 2-3 months ago.
I remember someone said he was in hospice, and then he got on his Twitter and said, hospice? You talking about hospice? Hospice? They say he passed peacefully with his kids and grandchildren around him, and please respect their privacy. Well, that's the end of an era, huh? Did he ever, you think he ever, I mean, there's people around him that stood by him that I guess were still standing by him after he got out of prison for the Vegas thing. He spent a few years behind bars. How about 6 years?
Yeah, I think it was a couple of years.
Yeah. That he still had a base of friends. Well, I don't think for some reason he's resting in peace. but he is dead. Trump drove right past our Orlando studios yesterday. Right before the end of the show, he landed at OII Airport. And I guess that's all the news we were hearing about traffic and lights being, you know, and on-ramps blocked. Right up the I-4 to Attorney Dan Newland's house up at Keene's Point, and it was a fundraiser event. Dan Newland opened his home to anybody that donated $5,000. You could get your photo taken with Trump. Guess how much they charge? Pick a stab.
$2,500.
$25,000.
Oh, okay. It was close.
$25,000. I got mine for free. Except Bill O'Reilly got it and messed the whole picture. I've had to crop him out. the neighborhood was lined with Trump signs. And it's interesting, Dan Newland, he kind of came out as a Republican. We saw during his Super Bowl commercial where he wore a MAGA hat. And you're like, what? He said his endorsement of Trump is unrelated to his law firm. The firm gave $5,400 to Hillary in 2016, $100,000 to Florida Democrats in 22. His personal contribution history includes $150,000 in 2018 to the Florida Democratic Party, thousands of dollars to Democrats like Orange County property appraiser Amy Mercado and Darren Soto. But he flipped. Last year, he gave $1 million to the Trump-aligned Make America Great Again PAC. And $100,000 each to in 2023 of the Florida Republican senatorial campaign and the Defending Conservatism Democracy PAC. What do you suppose, you know, because somehow he is associated with Morgan. I mean, it's a firm within a firm type of deal. John Morgan's in almost in the same neighborhood. He's got Joe Biden up there. He's had the Obamas up there a couple of times. And I guess, you know, Republicans need lawyers too.
Yeah, I think that's diversifying.
Yeah, I think it's pretty smart. Man, where should I have known he had been in town? Not like I'm going to go up there to Dan Newland's house. But, you know, Buttigieg may feel safe walking his dog in D.C. with his security detail, of course, even though 2 hours after that segment aired on Psaki, two people walking a dog were robbed, one of them stabbed. He's alive. And yesterday in D.C., just a few miles from the White House, a mass shooting. Less than 5 miles from Biden's state dinner at the White House, a man was killed and five others sent to the hospital, including two children, aged 9 and 12. A couple miles up the street, Biden's hosting Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. These people just got out of a vehicle and started shooting into a crowd. Two men, a woman, a 9-year-old, and a 12-year-old. By the way, as Buttigieg says that, oh, money has been spent and energy has been spent on making D.C. a safer place. I feel great walking my dog alone near the Capitol. the violent crime in D.C. is up 39%. So, that's pretty much.
I mean, Buttigieg is safe, too.
Yeah. 30, and that does not include the 35% rise in homicides and a 400% growth in carjackings. That's fine there. Don't worry about it. This is more of the same thing where, you know, you ask Biden, what's with the border? And he says, I don't have the power to do it. I'm trying to figure out what. Well, he knows. Marcia Clark, thank you very much, everybody. That was her. Everybody, you know, everyone knows how Trump did it. I'm just a dumbass DJ, and I know how he did it. He signed an executive order. I forget the number, but it was Remain in Mexico was the title of it. You apply all day long for asylum, but you ain't coming in until we get it sorted out whether or not you're granted asylum or not. It's just, you know, and then you're told the economy's great. The economy is fantastic. Now you know that we've had a 3.5% boost in inflation. It was supposed to be going down. Hell, we spent $2 trillion on something called the Inflation Reduction Act. Yet they tell us the economy's great. We spent all this money to lower the inflation. Inflation went up. It's literally, don't mind your lying eyes. You know, just listen to us. Keep your eye. No. Don't go look over there. Look at me. Stay with us. I am the truth. I'll tell you what's going on. No wonder there's such a battle on for the truth right now. You know, it's literally, you know, misinformation, disinformation, and then tell you lies right to your face.
Yeah. They look at you and just tell you disinformation right to you and then tell you, you argue, you're wrong about it.
Right. This administration has done more to help at the border than any administration ever. Really. We see. I mean, we have eyes. and the fact that Buttigieg wants to sell D.C. as safe is an absolute joke and a prime example of the gaslighting you receive from this administration. I cannot figure out the Planet Fitness deal. Right? One lady freaks out. A dude's in the bathroom showering, she says. And the dude, they tell him, you know, the manager there at Planet Fitness, well, you see, he identifies as a woman and he's queer or whatever. And that's why he's in there. And that's our policy here at Planet Fitness. Yet, yesterday, a member in North Carolina at Planet Fitness went into the ladies' room at the gym. A dude walked in, stripped down, completely naked. When the women were aghast, he simply said, I identify as a woman. 38-year-old Christopher Miller, was arrested on a charge of indecent exposure and booked into the Gaston County Jail. I mean, his online inmate entry identified him as a male. The mugshot shows he is a bearded dude with a mustache. It's a felony charge. A woman in the Gastonia Planet Fitness picked up the phone. Her phone called 911. She didn't go to management. Maybe this is the way out. She called 911 to report there was a naked man in the ladies' room. It's a man. This is a quote. It's a man, but he says he identifies as a woman, and he won't leave the restroom. The 911 operator's dispatcher said, is he completely naked? And she says, yes, he's walking around showing us his penis, and he won't leave. He finally, I guess the tipping, the straw that broke the camel's back there, was that he asked women to put lotion on him and shower with him. Planet Fitness allows members to use the restroom and locker room consistent with their self-reported gender identity. He told the ladies he identified as a woman.
Yeah, but this guy was obviously a pervert.
How dare they gender this man? This woman, I mean. This bearded woman.
Asking to be lotioned and showered with.
This is what you get, man. You Planet Fitness signed up for this. They literally signed up for it. They chose this path. He is being held currently on a $25,000 bond. Woo! Yeah. But, you know, that's what you... what did you expect, really?
You have opened that up. We've talked about it being a slippery slope. You, when you open things like that up to make concessions for one person that believes one thing, guess what you're going to create? You're going to create mayhem like this.
And I don't know why, if this guy hadn't been, I don't know what they mean by he's showing us his penis. So I mean, if he's like, hey, what do you think of this? Or if he's had it in his hand, or just it was out and they could see it. Maybe it sounds like these women were maybe unaware of the policy there, of, you know, allowing anyone to use any whatever they identify as. But this guy could have played it. He could have. Can you be identify as a woman and you have a robust beard?
Yeah.
And is it completely unthinkable that in a women's locker room, that after a workout and a shower, you might ask a fellow work, locker mate to put a little lotion on you?
No.
No?
No. No, that's not happening.
He asked a female gym member in the locker room to lotion him up and take a shower together. Well, the guy was, obviously he was a little ashy and he wanted to save water.
But this is what happens when you create these concessions, let these things happen.
Yeah.
By Planet Fitness's rules, that guy did nothing wrong.
No, he didn't. You're right. Absolutely correct. He did nothing wrong. And had he just not asked about the lotion in the shower and the cops showed up, he'd have to go to Planet Fitness and say, I thought you guys had a policy here. I identify as a woman. And if they say, well, you clearly aren't a woman, then you're just transphobic. Son of a bitch.
I mean, is it against the rule to ask to be lotioned up and showered?
Right.
I mean, if there's another woman in there and she said, hey.
Yeah, can I get a little lotion on me back?
I saw you lifting. I see your big, strong hands. You think I can lotion me up a little bit?
Let me return. I think, remember the Vanderbilt situation where a bunch of students, you know, they did their thing where they, they're in a hall where the chancellor's office was, 35, 40 kids. They called 911 because one of them needed to change her tampon. Remember that? Well, the good news is that universities are starting to say no and realize the power in not coddling these students. Four of the kids in Nashville at Vanderbilt were arrested. three of them expelled, one suspended, and 22 given some disciplinary probation. Same thing happened at Pomona. Maybe they're starting to realize it's saying no, that no means no. We'll talk about it when we return. Also, only two colleges, according to the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, are doing anything at all to fight anti-Semitism, and they're colleges you've never heard of. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Discount.
On the warm.
Just thinking, who's going to go to OJ's funeral?
It's a good question.
I mean, do you think he has a lot of friends that are like, yo, sure, OJ, I'm with you, man. Oh, yeah, you want to come over to the house and have some drink? Oh, no, I'm to him out. I don't be seeing him in public.
I think he's still got a lot of friends or had.
You know. Right. Last week at Pomona College was a real moment. The president, Gabrielle Starr, there are a bunch of students stormed the building where her office is. They refused to leave, you know, pro-Palestinian. They're protesting there was removal of some pro-Palestinian art on campus that was probably anti-Semitic at the very least. They protested that, and she told them, she said, look, you do not leave. Within the next 10 minutes, every single student in this building is immediately suspended from this institution. They all left. They don't want mom and dad getting a call. Their little baby has been suspended. Then we had that parody level incident about the 911 tampon call, which was just embarrassing for the university more than anything else. And the kids involved. The University of Michigan, the president there, Santa Ono, issued a new policy against disruptive activity. Like if you get shouted down, she's trying to give a speech at a convocation. She shouted down about divest, free Palestine. Now you get kicked out of school for that. I mean, because I think we've been the cool parent style of managing, you know, students in universities for like a decade or more.
Yeah, we've tried to be the, oh, it's a place of higher learning and protesting is a part of higher learning. And
well, that, yes. Also, though, I mean, it didn't just recently start, like 2015 to 2017 at Yale, I think it was around then, where, and another, Evergreen College in New York, where the professors were the targets because they weren't buying into the new woke orthodoxy, and they used the pronoun. They refused to, one of them refused to use a plural pronoun to speak to a single person, to refer to a single person. That doesn't make any sense at all. They literally were in trouble because they used proper grammar. And administrations, that's, you know. Well, when they shouted down a Trump-appointed judge in San Francisco, they wouldn't let him speak. The poor kid that got expelled, one of the kids that got expelled, his name is Jack from Vanderbilt, Jack Pittox. His tweet says, I'm Jack Pittox, a 19-year-old activist that's been fighting for marginalized people for years. Yesterday, I was expelled from Vanderbilt University for peacefully protesting the genocide in Palestine. That's what you get, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of places on that campus that you could peacefully protest. You went into an area that they said, hey, you can't protest here. It's off limits. You need to get out of here in a certain amount of time. They gave them that time. They overstayed it. You broke the rules. No different than any other kid on that campus that breaks a rule. That kid, though, is I'm pretty sure that's the same one that they invited to the White House. He's a professional protester now.
Right.
He's been kicked out of a bunch of other places for doing the same thing.
Riley Gaines, remember last year, she was at San Francisco State about to speak. Mob of LGBTQ people forced her to sequester in a room to hide from them. And she had to have police, to protect her. And The school didn't apologize. All they did was acknowledge the pain of the LGBTQ people. And this just emboldens, you know, you see it. You hear their voices when they speak, when they, you know, these young liberal protesters, they're just emboldened now. Look, nothing happens to us. We can shut down the whole whatever. And they don't do it. They can't do anything to us because it's our right. We can disrupt anything we want.
Hey, just like all those people that went in and interrupted the Senate cafeteria.
Right.
Pretty sure you were in an area you weren't supposed to be in.
Yep. And you get arrested for it. You're right. That has a lot to do with it, I think. You know, protesting in the streets of the Bronx or whatever, or in the appropriate areas on your campus is one thing. But now you go into the chancellor's building, into the foyer outside of her office and do a sit-in, and you're told to leave. You're given time to leave. You don't leave. And now you're absolutely shocked that you've been kicked out of that school. You know, behavior has consequences. And, you know, and sometimes the school administrators will back you up, pat you on the back and say, we acknowledge your pain. But now, moreover, they're just saying, well, you know, you're out of here.
Good.
I'm fine with it. Fine with it. Only two universities. according to a new report from the ADL, that grades colleges on their policies to protect Jewish students. 13 of the nation's most elite schools, including Harvard and Princeton, were given an F. They reviewed 85 of America's top universities and the ones with the highest portion of Jewish students. The only schools to receive an A for fighting Jew hatred were Brandeis University in Massachusetts and Elon University in North Carolina. Harvard, MIT, Princeton, Stanford, Universities of Chicago, Virginia, North Carolina, Tufts University, and the whole SUNY chain all got F's. And it's school leadership. School leadership. And it's another symptom of the same thing. It's because we don't want to upset the students. You know, they might be LGBTQ or, you know, they're queers for Palestine. And, you know, that's just it. They will allow, it literally is inmates running the institution. And this is just a bigger part of it. How hard would it be to discipline kids for anti-Jewish stuff, they say, you know, harassing Jewish students?
I mean, that's where the line needs to be drawn, because there is, we have that ability. Go on, if you want to go on campus with your bullhorn in the public square area and you want to run your mouth about everything anti-Jewish that you possibly can, that's your right. Up until you violate someone else's, which is the chasing Jewish kids up into the attic of a library because you're banging right on the door. That's gone. That's not protest anymore.
You're threatening people with violence.
That's a threat. Yeah. You know, breaking into buildings to go and protest in front of the people. That's no
We're
longer
speaking truth to power.
Yeah. There are places on every campus. There is some sort of student union,
yep,
or
the square,
you know, quad area, yeah, that you can go in there and you can protest all you want about whatever you want to say. It changes, though, when you start following Jewish students around the campus and yelling at them.
And when you move it to the chancellor's office, that's because you feel no one's hearing you on the quad. No one gives a rat's ass. And likely that's true. Quite frankly, we're sick of it. Why not do something? You know, if the Palestinian thing is your thing, what good does it do to yell, scream? You know, what good does it do to tell your board they better divest from anything that has anything to do with Israel? Or, you know, you're going to be gone in a few years.
No, all those most of these ones that are these major ones, like this kid that did the sit in and all. They're looking to become professional protesters. That's become the new big thing, is to be so liberal, because these nonprofit groups go by and they're like, oh yeah, we want you to protest. We'll make sure you guys get you know, travel to wherever you need to go and airfare, and then we'll do all this. It's a lot of the look at the David Hoggs of the world.
Oh my God, that guy's an idiot.
Who took a tragedy that he wasn't even at school for, and turned it into now he runs a giant pack that they're stealing a bunch of money from.
Did you hear him get schooled by a Chinese? Love it. I don't know where he was speaking.
Hi, my name is Lily Tang Williams. Welcome to my live free or die state. Actually, I am a Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, 40 million...
By the way, a Chinese immigrant who has escaped communism is like kryptonite to a liberal. You've got them beat right there.
Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, 40 million people were starving to death after he sold communism to them. And 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So my question to you, David, is that can you guarantee me, a gun owner tonight, our government in the U.S., in D.C., will never, never become a tyrannical government? Can you guarantee that to me?
There's no way I can ever guarantee that any government will not be tyrannical.
Well, then the debate on gun control is over because I will never give up my guns. Never, never. And you should go to China to see how gun control works for dictatorship of CCP.
You're right. That is his job. That is literally his vocation.
Yeah. He got into Harvard. I think he's at Harvard.
Yeah, because of that.
Because of that. He would have never gotten there on his grades or his academics or anything else. He got in because of that. He got a job. He basically travels with the White House to do anti-gun stuff.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of liberals that's they're looking like, oh my God, that's how I can change the world. I'll go to a prestigious school and I won't actually get a degree or anything, but I'll just protest all the time, and then I'll join one of these other big larger protest groups. And
I mean, is he aiming for a political job? You think being elected to something?
I think they all. Think that they're going to.
Here's what I want you to hear: this college woman, where the hell is it? And her opinion of
saying like
men. She's talking about there is a change on college campuses of young men more young men identifying as conservative, and she makes a great point.
They're saying, like, all the college kids, boys, men, whatever they are trending conservative. And I'm like, yeah, duh. The left is so insane at this point that, like, if you're a dude, especially if you are a straight dude and put yourself in that category, like, you're, like, insane. It's, like, not only is it, like, it's embarrassing. It's, like, imagine being a man and being like, yeah, I'm a Democrat. It's, like, literally the most, like, feminine, embarrassing thing you could do.
We've been warned again by FBI Director Christopher Wray. He warns of a quote, an elevated threat to United States public safety and the national security. He also asked for a bump in the budget. He's going to tell Congress, at least a panel, of how America can be threatened through an execution, an organized terrorist attack similar to the one that happened in Russia. Now give me some money. So I can spy on you guys. Looking back over my career in enforcement, he said, I'd be hard-pressed to think of a time where so many threats to our public safety and national security were so elevated all at once. But that is the case, as I sit here today. This is not a point when we can let up. Now, do you buy that?
I mean, the fact that we keep having our heads of our security keep coming up and going, hey, something bad's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. There's going to be something. Yeah, I'm on high alert. That's starting to really sound bad.
Or is it... I don't know. I felt oftentimes in my adult life that situations, that the whole theme, and I'm not saying I'm a 911 truther or whatever, but the whole theme behind that is that was done on purpose, killing tons of people so that we could launch some wars for the industrial weapon, military complex. And there's been other tails wagging the dog in our history.
That's more kind of what I'm insinuating, that, you know, it's very, very odd for our government to come out and tell everybody, oh, yeah, you got to be watching out for something. Be watching out for something. Because a lot of times we say, oh, no, we protected you because we got the didn't have to tell you that there was something wrong. So why are they so intent right now of hyping up, especially when they when you're trying to say, oh, well, it's not because people are coming across the border. It's not because our borders are wide open. But
I don't think Ray says that.
But we all sure know. Insinuate that there's something here.
He says he needs more money to, quote, tackle these threats to keep the American citizens safe at home as what we were once perceived as a global as we once what once what we were once perceived as global dangers draw nearer. This is by no means the time to let up or dial back. This is the time we need your support the most. We need all the tools, all the people, all the resources required to tackle these threats and to keep Americans safe. The immediate concern, I think, are Heath believes there are people that have drawn inspiration from the ongoing Israel-Hamas conflict. And use that to carry out as of the reason to carry out terrorist attacks in the U.S. Russia concert hall that killed 144 people. And, you know, at this moment, it could be the sophomore class from Harvard. You know, but you're right. There's a little bit of specificity there because that he believes that that's the number one thing. But, you know, I would think that the number of known terror suspects that are on the list somewhere that we've nabbed at the border might be a more of an indicator. Not some, you know, domestic group. And then I think, man, it's just about the money. They wanted the new bazillion-dollar FBI headquarters. I don't know if they're going to get that or not.
I mean, there's probably a good mix of it where he can – that's why I'm wary about it when they come out and say, oh, yeah, there's definitely a lot of bad stuff that's going to happen. It could happen any day now. One, usually you don't tell everybody that because there's no reason to whip up a panic unless you, one, know something specific, very, very specific,
but
or two, you want some extra money.
Even the most, if you're just a cursory news observer over time and you've read a little bit about history, this is one of the very few government groups, agencies, that can literally and has created events so that they could cure them and then claim victory and we need more money. I mean, we got to be honest about that. Mm-hmm. The Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping. A lot of January 6th, the terrorists, they you know.
When you start up a plan to kidnap a governor and more people on there are FBI agents than actual guys try to kidnap the governor.
Well, who's on the phone?
Chip is.
Chip. Let's talk to Chip. Chip, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Yeah, you know, you're asking about what the reasoning behind it is. Don't you think it has to do with that FISA deal with it? They're trying to get everybody amped up to give them, you know, keep the ability to spy on everybody and do all the stuff they've been doing.
No, that failed. I don't think this is all about being under threat of something happening. That's what he's claiming that we're, and I, you know, I have no reason not to believe him. I am weary about things that I hear from the government, especially the three-letter agencies, but who knows? Pfizer will be around whether or not it's with or without a warrant. That's the only thing that has to be decided.
I don't think they're giving up on Pfizer, but that was one thing I started thinking too, letting all these people in the country, people might start demanding that they start, you know, surveillance, you know, domestically and ramp it up. And, you know, then they don't have to ask for it, you know.
But, well, they're not citizens, so.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate it. Fox News wanted to know about, you know, we've played the audio, the chants in Dearborn, Michigan about death to America, death to America, death to Israel, by people that are living here under the good graces of America that brought you here allowed you asylum from the S-hole dirtwater country you came from, and now you chant death to it. So Fox wanted to know, Rashida Tlaib, that's her district. They wanted to know, what does she think? Can she say that does she believe that it's true? Can she denounce it? And I guess she doesn't talk to Fox News.
Congresswoman Tlaib?
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
I don't talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chants of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to America? Why are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News is not listen, using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist? Is chanting death to America racist?
I'm talking about your guys' racist tropes. You know, you guys know exactly what you do. I know you're Islamophobic, but you guys got to go deal with it on your own self. You're not going to use me.
Up the elevator she goes. Notice she doesn't get specific about these racist tropes.
No, she just throws it out there. But again,
racist tropes. You use racist tropes.
There were other reporters there, and none of them had the guts to say, "Okay, well, I'm with."
CNN. I'm.
I'd like to know. Do you condemn this?
I'd like this administration's balls. Do you condemn it?
Yeah. I don't know why there are so few reporters that seem to have any guts anymore.
Because they know if they don't play the game, they're going to get sidelined. I got some audio from Catherine Herridge. We'll get to when we get back, but it's pretty good stuff. Okay. This guy's talking about our economy and the illegal immigrant situation.
You're right. We're being overwhelmed with illegal immigration. And one of the things that frustrates me as an economist, John, is that it's poisoning the whole immigration system. People are not going to be accepting of legal immigrants if they think that people are just running across the border, coming in. As I said, we don't know if they have drugs. We don't know if they're terrorists. That is something that has really gotten out of control under Biden. You know, we have five times more illegal immigrants coming into this country now than when Trump was president, because Joe Biden has basically just said we're going to have an open border and they're not enforcing the immigration laws.
True. You see his mumbly toast he was trying to make yesterday with the Japanese prime minister?
That's bad.
Oh, my God. I mean, the guy, I got to dial it in here, then we'll play it when we get back. He's reading it, and he still can't get the words out. Here it is.
We are the same, Japan and the United States. We may be divided by distance, but generations after generation, we've been brought together, the same hopes, the same values, the same commitment to democracy and freedom, and to dignity for all.
He also thinks he's in the 20th century, too.
Yeah. He's reading it right there. He's holding it in his hand, looking down at it. He can't even make a toast. Oh, yeah. All right. Do you find it odd that Charlize Theron has two trans kids? Megan Fox has three trans kids? And now Ben Affleck has two trans kids?
It's Come like on. An accessory.
It literally is. It's the latest handbag. Oh, your kids aren't trans? Sorry. And these are, I don't see this as anything other than an attack. Here are celebrities. They're all their kids are. They got tons of trans kids there. Maybe it's normal.
Except you have ones like Brad Pitt's daughter, him and Angelina Jolie's daughter that was like 9, 10, cut their hair all short, wore boys' clothes, and now is completely like, no, not that's not me. I'm completely 100% a girl.
Right. They get over it after a while. Is that what they're doing? Just allowing their kids to go through the motion?
I think it's a little bit of that.
Yeah. All right. And Heather has answers coming up. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Oh. Jack Smith has had a bit of a blow in his classified documents case. A judge has rejected his plea, and it will now allow a Trump co-defendant to submit FBI transcripts in the case. They said there are even stronger reasons to deny Mr. Smith's sweeping requests to overcome the public's common law interest in access to these materials. The material in question is the transcript of an FBI interview with Trump's co-defendant Walt Nauta. Remember that name? He's like, is this some kind of...
Yeah, it was like his...
valet.
Yeah.
I need a valet. Ahead of the hearing, Mr. Nauta had been ordered to file his motions and all this stuff and get them all in. And he's expected to argue motions to dismiss that the prosecution has failed to state an offense. He said the law is way too vague for the average citizen to understand. It's too ambiguous, and therefore the judge must apply the law in a manner favorable to the defendant. Judge Cannon said that Mr. Smith sufficiently argued to shield the names of potential government witnesses, but came to a different conclusion regarding Nauta's motion and the attached FBI transcript. Given the undisputedly substantive nature of the motions, the court has applied the common law right of access standard to this inquiry, deeming it sufficient to resolve the instant requests as brief. So the way I read it is there's something in this FBI interview that is exculpatory, or at least, at least on most of the charges that are against him. And furthermore, he's literally being held because he allegedly... He mishandled some documents that were stored at the estate. That's all he knows.
Yeah, that they said that he moved documents from one room to another room.
Right. Well, where's the violation?
I mean, was he aware of what they were?
I don't believe so. I think that's what exactly is in this FBI interview.
I mean, can you be held liable for moving classified documents if you were just told, hey, pick up that
take those boxes and put them over there if you don't mind? Okay. I mean, if a dead body was in one and you didn't know it, would you be charged with moving a corpse?
I mean, they could try.
Well, they're going to clear this up on Friday. See how it goes. They're going to try to dismiss against Nauta and some other Carlos de Oliveira. Is that the guy they told to do something about the server? Or I forget. Anyway, that's a big blow to him. And the case is getting more and more difficult for him, I believe. Did you see the video of the guy from the Hamas, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh? He's in there. They're touring a hospital. In Gaza or somewhere.
He's
visiting injured Palestinians that are in a hospital in Qatar. That's where he lives in exile. And so he gets a phone call. His attaché, his valet is next to him. He gets a phone call. He gets some news. And then it's on tape. He turns to Ismail and tells him that your three sons and your four grandkids have been killed in an IDF airstrike. They're in a car together. Kablooey. And he's, God be with them. God rest their souls. And the guy says, you want to cut this hospital short, visit short in light of this news? He goes, no. Why? Let's continue. I mean, that's the level of humanity.
Everybody's disposable.
Not even a second of mourning?
Nope.
No, not even a, I'm shocked?
Yeah, they serve their purposes.
And this reporter says, he said, no, why? Let's continue. He says, he sounded bizarrely upbeat. I think because he thinks they're martyred.
Yeah, and he can now spin that. Later on, the IDF killed a bunch of kids.
My children have been martyred. Israeli military confirmed the airstrike, saying his sons were targeted because they were terrorists. He did not comment on the details of the grandchildren, claiming there's no information on that right now. Haniyeh said it was driven by the spirit of revenge, but... if you're a terrorist and they got your number, he said, the blood of my sons is not dearer than the blood of our people. The enemy will be delusional if he thinks that targeting my sons at the climax of the negotiations and before movement sends its response will push Hamas to change in position. Well, apparently they say that the IDF carried out this bombing without consulting Netanyahu or Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. But aren't you just going, hey, find a terrorist and then kill him? You're tracking them. You have the intelligence. You know where they are. You in a car? All right. Get them. This Catherine Herridge thing, I don't understand what this hearing was. It wasn't in her case. It was just a general hearing about her being fined $800 something a day for not giving up a confidential source. I have a little bit of it. Let me find the shorter ones right here. I feel bad for her. She really is one of the very last real journalists in existence. And she's, and I guess this is maybe punitive, what they're doing to her for being, talking about laptop, for talking about the, you know, the Burisma and all that nonsense, because she does. She's a bulldog about
it. She was working on something else that she says that they took away from her. Yeah. So there is another government case that she was working on.
Involving a Chinese spy, I
yes.
understand.
Today with a deep sense of gratitude and humility. I appreciate the subcommittee taking the time to focus again on the importance of protecting reporter sources and the vital safeguards provided by the Press Act. As you know, in February, I was held in contempt of court for refusing to disclose my confidential sources on a national security story. I think my current situation can help put the importance of the Press Act into context. One of our children recently asked me if I would go to jail, if we would lose our house, and if we would lose our family savings to protect my reporting sources. I wanted to answer that in this United States, where we say we value democracy and the role of a vibrant and free press, that it was impossible, but I could not offer that assurance.
I mean, I've never heard of anything like this in my life, knowing of a journalist being threatened with jail and contempt and incredible amounts of fines every day for not revealing a confidential source.
Yeah, that's like the biggest part of being a journalist is having that ability to have confidential sources.
Right.
So it just means they so badly want whoever this other person is that they
don't
want
care.
Her to, yeah, they'll burn her career down just to get to who she's talking to.
The Bipartisan Press Act, which came out of this House committee, would put an end to the sort of legal jeopardy that I have experienced firsthand in the federal courts. And without the legislation, more journalists will run the uncertainty of the contempt gauntlet in the future.
Why do we need more legislation? This is clearly covered in the First Amendment, right?
This legislation will provide protections for every working journalist in the United States now and for the next generation.
And if anyone votes against it, you know what their MO is. They don't want a vibrant journalist scene in America.
The legislation provides strong protections at the federal level for reporters and their sources. It would block litigants and federal government from prying into a reporter's files, except when there's an imminent threat of violence, including terrorism and in defamation cases. At the state level, similar rules are already in place to protect press freedom.
I don't think we needed any more legislation about it. It seems pretty cut and dried to me. Not only is she an acclaimed investigative journalist, award-winning journalist, I mean, I don't know if it's punitive because, you know, she reported heavily on the Hunter Biden laptop. And, you know, I think they crossed the line. CBS crossed. You know, that came from a phone call for this administration.
Yes.
Without question.
They called and said, we need her out of there.
They seized her files after she was fired. Now she's slamming her former bosses for putting her sources at risk. She said CBS's news decision to seize my reporting records crossed the red line that I believe should never be crossed by any media organization. multiple sources say that they were concerned that by working with me to expose government corruption and misconduct, they would be identified and exposed. That's exactly what this is. CBS News locked me out of the building, seized hundreds of my pages of reporting files, including confidential source information. I pushed back, and with the public support of my union, SAG-AFTRA, the records were returned. Not sure if they weren't photocopied, right?
No, there's an intern that just spent a couple days going through every one of those files.
Jim Jordan is one of the guys that demanded CBS turn over the information. Some people called it unprecedented at CBS. The network insisted it was in a written response to the committee before the hearing that it was episode was not unusual. CBS had no one. They said no one rifled through the files, and they were eventually locked inside her former office in D.C. There,
you're telling me that we put a lock on it. Of course, nobody's going in there.
God, what a bunch of malarkey. And that poor woman lost her job, her health coverage, all her files seized, and now she's being held in contempt of court. Biden even pressured Snopes to change its fact rating on the gas stove ban. No, wait, we've heard that there was a gas stove ban, right?
They came out and talked about it. They wanted to ban gas stoves because they said it was bad for the environment.
Yes, we heard it from Jennifer Glenn, whatever her name is, the Secretary of Energy, Granholm. And then someone ran it through Snopes. Snopes gives it a partially true rating. And so someone from Biden administration called down there and said, no, we need you to go all the way false on that deal. And they did.
Of course they did. Just roll through Snopes nowadays. They used to be but it's an absolute joke now.
Yeah, consumer protection people, Richard Trumka, a member of the Consumer Protection Safety Commission, he said that was on the table. Jennifer Granholm said it was. It's a hidden hazard, they said. Any options on the table, products that can be made safe must be banned. They put it, that's unusual for Snopes not to, immediately take the left side, But they sent over a letter saying you need to change it. Heather.
Yes.
Do you have letters?
I do.
Heather has answers at gmail.com, and we'll try to help you out here. We're not experts. Don't take any medical advice from us, but let's hear it.
All right. Hi, Heather. Hoping you really do have answers. My friend is getting groomed, and I don't know what to do about it. My sister has a girlfriend who is underage, and she recently started talking about a 25-year-old man that she met during her internship, and we're going to call him Max. Apparently, she thought he was around 20 at most in the beginning, and he guessed she was around 18. When she told Max her real age, according to her, his face dropped, yet it didn't seem to scare him off too much. She told this to the entire friend group when we went out to eat, and no one really said anything about it. I feel like I'm the only one bothered by the fact that there's nearly a decade between their ages. I had hoped that nothing would go on from there, and after a while of not talking to her, I asked her how things were going with her boyfriend. Not Max, but a guy I thought she was seeing. And she started telling me about how she met Max during a festival sort of event in town. She was there with her friends, and he joined them. She told me they didn't talk much until later when they danced together, and they had a conversation that was something like this. Max, I really want to kiss you right now, but I'm afraid it would ruin our friendship. Teenager. Haha, it's a bit early considering it's our first meeting. Max, you're right, but would it ruin anything? And the teen said, I wouldn't say that, not really. I was floored when I heard that, devastated even. I tried to watch her go through this once with some greasy Discord mod a few years back when she was 14, he was 22. But what can I do? Everyone is supporting her. In that moment, I was in shock. What destroyed me more was the fact that she told her own parents and grandparents, and they weren't upset. What the hell? At this point, I don't know what would drive her to do this. I don't want to shame her, but the guy seriously gives me chills just looking at him, and I'm scared for her and her safety. I can't support this and stay quiet about the...
How old is the girl again?
A teenager, underage, so...
What? Yeah. Anyways,
I can't stay quiet about this like last time. What do I do, or how do I even approach her? Yeah, when she was 14 and he was 22 that time.
Approach her?
Approach the teenager who's dating the man. How does she approach the teenager?
She's not going to listen to her friend's mother.
It's her friend's sister. Her friend's older sister.
Oh, maybe she'll listen to her. But I might just see what information you can get about old Max and call the sheriffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
25 and a teenager?
And she used the term almost a decade between them, so that's not a 18-year-old or 17-year-old mm-hmm. teenager.
No.
That's a 14 or 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Her parents should care a little bit more. I wonder if the parents actually know his age.
Yeah, maybe you should ask her parents, hey, do you know that she's dating a 25-year-old guy? Creepy.
That is so creepy.
That's exactly what's going on. You can bet your ass that he's trying to, you know, groom her for whatever.
He couldn't just be, like, super immature. Like, I remember dating older guys when I was a teenager.
Wait. What's going on here is illegal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he could talk to her. They could be buddies and talk on the Snapchats or whatever. But him starting to make out with her and become physical with her is, I'm fairly certain, is illegal.
Yes.
Having sex with her will go right to jail.
Yes.
Straight
Hopefully
to jail.
She's not doing that.
Huh?
Hopefully she's not doing that.
Let's hope not.
All right, do you want the next one?
Yeah.
Jail. Right to jail. Right away.
What is that?
That's me saying right to jail right away.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. 2HH, EZ, and Shannon, do you have one or are you the fat friend? My mom pointed out that I am the fat friend in the group. Fridays after work, I meet with a group of my friends for dinner. I showed my mom a group photo we took this past weekend, and she asked if I realized that I was a lot larger than the others. I told her I did, and then she asked me why I continued to go out to eat every Friday, knowing I'm so unhealthy. She made comments about how I didn't seem to belong with the group and got stuck, and that I stuck out like a sore thumb. I stopped responding to her after this and was going to let it go. When I mentioned the conversation to a friend, she seemed to agree with my mom and implied that I'm only invited out as a pity invite. Could they have been being honest with me? Are these honest friends with best intentions? I feel ashamed and embarrassed over this, questioning if I have any real friends. Should I ask another friend if the group feels the same? Please don't share my name or my email.
Oh, you think it's like some guys hanging out and like, hey, man, you want to go watch, grab some dinner after work? Yeah, let's go. Should we get Fat Johnny just for laughs? Yeah, get Fat Johnny to go with us.
See, I don't think that's a guy thing in any way. I don't think there's any point where we're like, yeah, let's get Fat Johnny to come with us.
Right. I mean, some people are bigger than other people. I mean, that's just the way it is.
But that mom's a bitch right off the bat. Let's start with
Wait
that.
Wait a second. Yes. If anybody can make that kind of comment about you, it's your loved ones, and she's only doing it out of a place of love.
Is she, though?
It doesn't sound like
he's her son
or daughter
or whatever.
I think it's a daughter.
Well, whatever, it's Fat Janie. It doesn't matter. I think that your close family should be able to say things, give you a little, you know, hints. No,
I mean.
What?
Okay.
Listen, let me tell you something. Being told and pointed out that you're fat will light a fire under your ass.
Or ruin a relationship.
Not with your mother. You can't ruin your relationship with your mom. That's your mother. Look, if my mother were alive today and told me, you know, 2 years ago when I was like 270 something pounds or whatever I was, 255, that I was, you know, looking kind of pudgy, I would have appreciated it. I mean, I wouldn't be mad at her because it's the truth.
Yeah.
And when his mother or her mother looked at this photograph of their kid and everyone else, and she was the biggest one, she was just telling the truth.
The mom was like, you don't belong because you're fat.
Yeah, that's a little tough. Yeah, that's a little rough.
One thing about saying you need to lose some weight, there's another that your friends are the only friends only like you because they pity you.
That's really bad, too.
Yeah, that's too far.
But saying you're the fat friend is I think, I don't know. Does she know that she's the fat friend?
I think the fat friend knows.
I don't. Does the fat friend care? Like,
apparently,
she
shouldn't.
I
don't believe that people invite the fat person out to the group because they pity them.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want someone to come along because you don't like them, then, you know, you'll come up with another, come up with a reason. And then they're like, hey, yeah, you want to go too? Because you probably don't go out a lot because you're fat and all. So, yeah.
You must not have any friends, so I got to be your friend.
Her mother's, or his, or whatever, person's mother.
I have no idea if it's a girl or a boy now.
Their mother asked him or her first, why do you go out to dinner every Friday knowing that what? Knowing that you're heavy or knowing that.
I can't believe you eat dinner on Friday. Okay. You still have to eat.
What's the guidance they're asking for?
Should I ask another friend in the group if they feel the same, or does she not have any real friends, or he? Could they have been being honest with me?
Maybe bring up the conversation next time she's at a Friday dinner. I said, hey, let's say, look, I showed this picture to my mother. You know what she said? She said I was the fat friend, and see what their reaction is.
Oh my gosh, that's perfect. That's perfect.
I mean, they might be completely honest. Well, yeah, you are.
And then they'll be like,
I mean, look around the table here.
Yeah.
We're not sticking you with the bill. Who cares?
Yeah. Just stop eating the food off my plate while you're sitting here at the table.
It doesn't mean that, though.
I do think, you know, telling, I don't know, if you're a good friend and someone's getting a little heavy around the middle, you might make not in front of a bunch of people, you don't want to embarrass them, but you might say something. You know?
Yeah, you can.
The like, mother's hey, want to go on a bike ride with me, but not like, dude, stop eating dinner on Friday night.
A mother pointing out that you're the biggest person in your group of friends
is rude.
It may be rude, but she did it to him or her, whichever it is, and that's a real honest opinion from a person that loves you very much.
Well, she didn't have to sound condescending or criticizing.
How would you have said it?
I would have invited the person to go for a bike ride with me or go for an extra walk.
But that's not giving the message.
The person didn't wake up and all of a sudden not realize they were fat.
Maybe there's a lot of people that get blind to their, into their own body positivity, self-love deal. They don't realize that they're Lizzo all of a sudden.
She's fine with it. She's allowed to be fine with it. Lizzo's fine with it.
Well, then they should tell her mother that. I'm good with the mother. I'm positive with my body. I'm I'm in the body positive movement, and I'm.
This is the body you created, Mom.
Yeah, blame it on her. Look what you did to me, Mother. You ruined me. All that.
And then ask the friends. Like it's very. I have a hard time believing they're bringing her along as a pity. Like,
Nobody does that.
I don't know. But bitches are cruel. If the dudes wouldn't do that, but if it's a woman.
But I mean, you got to ask. Like, why are you bringing? Is it like? In comparison, that you look thinner, or do you need a bodyguard? Or
I make them look thinner because I'm fat. Yeah. Do they do anything else together? I'd want to know that. Like, does she only meet these people for dinner on Friday? Or would maybe she go bowling with one of them on a Wednesday night, or meet up for lunch on a Tuesday?
Don't know.
Yeah, how good of friends are they? Actually?
Yeah.
If it's a Friday date where everybody gets together, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her mom's rude. That's it.
She should have a better sense of humor about it, too, I would advise, you know? Like Bubba the Love Sponge. She knows he's a big guy, and he has fun with it, you know? He makes made a nice living talking about how fat he is. I'm just kidding, Bubba. Thank you, Heather. Heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. Heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. When we return... In the UK, are considering, and I don't know if this is a bad idea or not, banning the sale of smartphones to anyone under 16. I would think that if you're in the house and you're under 16 or 16 or under, that you're not buying a smartphone. Your mom and dad are buying a smartphone.
Yeah, it's going on a family plan.
So could your mom and dad go, oh, yeah, we're not going to give our kids this phone. We will believe in that malarkey. And then you go, here's your phone. Yeah. You know what I mean? And sadly, Harvard's honesty professor, they have an honesty professor, has been caught not being completely honest. I'm zip here, right?
Yes.
All right, hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Video.
Well, we always talk about why nobody actually watches The View because, you know, what a waste of time. Wait till the hits come out later. And boy, did they come out today.
Take a look at the things that they're rolling back. Mm. Remember I said ages ago, you know, they, in their minds, they want to bring slavery back. They're okay with it.
She's speaking of Republicans.
Take a look at the things that they're rolling back.
I don't know what she's talking about, the things that they are rolling back. Roe v. Wade, maybe?
Okay, I don't know what that has to do with slavery.
Right.
Remember I said ages ago, you know, they, in their minds, they want to bring slavery back.
Is there any human alive today? I'm sure maybe one freak, but someone, but the average American, even I don't care how, if you're hardcore MAGA, you know, right wing, you know, patriot type of guy, you don't want to bring slavery back.
No.
That's the dumbest thing.
That's the most extreme of the extreme.
And this is why we play clips from The View. Because someone's watching it or it wouldn't be on television anymore, right? That's right. Oh, I meant to play this yesterday. This is a dude identifying as a woman. And they're asked why do you use the ladies' locker room? And this is it. This is all this whole LGBTQ thing is in a nutshell is right here.
I really didn't like being in the male changing rooms. They were, I felt really uncomfortable there. I didn't like the smells or the sounds.
Oh, it's okay. I felt uncomfortable in the men's room, the locker room. I didn't like it in there. I didn't like the sounds or the smells. I know. So instead of, you know, staying there, what's one person feeling uncomfortable? You went to the ladies' locker room and made them all feel uncomfortable. So this one individual's comfort is more important than a room full of normal women.
And also was uncomfortable around their body or my body. It was the smells and the sounds. I wanted to go over to the women's room.
Women don't, you know, drop off a deuce there in the ladies' room. And, you know, I mean, what sounds? Guys farting, peeing in a toilet? I mean,
you know, I don't know what weird locker room sounds this person is just super uncomfortable with.
Here's another one. This is very disappointed Mika Brzezinski.
I want to show two more. The undecided voters were also asked how they think President Biden is doing on the economy. Take a listen.
I think he's been absolutely disastrous for the economy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just raise your hand if you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally. Raise your hand. All right. So that is everybody.
They're on one of these, on a multi-person Zoom call. One guy's running. They're your average independent voters, or you know, and they get the bad news. Let's see. Raise your hand if you think Trump's economy is all that is. That's a done deal.
Yeah, so 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, it's everybody.
President Biden argues that his economic record has been very good. He said President Trump's was not as good. What are you keying off of, Sean, since you had the best smile in Virginia, the second best smile, what are you keying off of to say President Trump's economic policies would be better for you?
I mean, my past performance of my 401k, I know it was post 2020 and everything kind of flipped around, but You can't blame everything on 2020 for forever.
We have areas here in Pennsylvania where it's just at a standstill right now. Like, things are supposed to be being built and the interest rates are just way too high for people to you know, invest and start moving around.
And Virginia, just staying with you, because Pennsylvania is near and dear to Joe Biden's heart. Are there Biden policies that you would blame for the problem? And if so, what are they?
The interest rate is so high right now, and I know they're trying to cut the inflation down. But, like, if nobody is building, no businesses are really coming to Pennsylvania, right?
Then that's unanimous. Every one of you. I mean, I don't think you can ask a single person, Democrat, independent, Republican, anywhere, who had the better economic policies and under whom was the economy the best. And they may do it, you know, woefully, but they would have to admit it unless they're from the administration and they just want to gaslight everything I have to say. What do you think of Costco selling $200 million of gold and silver every month right now? That's not a good sign for the economy.
I mean, people know gold and silver don't lose value.
Right.
And that means they're storing it somewhere.
14.5% since January, gold alone. And they do point out that the Costco's pretty good at this. You know, they don't make any money on that chicken deal or the hot dog deal either. They only make 2%. They're selling it for 2% above the cost at any point, you know, whatever day or time you buy it. And they say pricing it at that level and if they're shipping it, would suggest that it's a very, very low profit. It's just like, the chicken, you know, come for a 5-gallon bucket of mayonnaise, stay for some gold bars and a couple of rotisseries.
Yeah, they know how to get people in there. They know, you're going in there by the gold bars and the silver and then, Ruth is going to hand over one of those little pizza bites and you're going, wow, these are delicious. Give me like 2 boxes of those. And you're going to walk down the next one. And by the end of it, you have a gigantic jar of peanut butter that you're never going to get through.
Yeah, that's true. Or if you do, you'll be constipated for a month. And there's significant support for this in the UK, banning the sale of smartphones to children under the age of 16 after a number of polls show significant support for this curb. They've issued guidance on the use of mobile phones in English schools 2 months ago. Other curbs have been made considered to better protect children after a number of campaigns. The government can't keep a smartphone out of a 16 or 15 year old's hands. The parents can.
Well, I mean, they could arrest them for it.
Well.
Again,
for possessing
it? We're talking about the UK right now.
That's true.
Don't give them too many ideas.
That's right. 64% of it thought the ban on selling smartphones to under 16s would be a good idea. They said in extreme cases, the government could parent better than the actual parents. That's the part I'm worried about. If I'm a parent, and my kid can handle a smartphone, and I'm making sure that he's not on the, being groomed by some, you know, creep, and I trust my kid with it, then why can't I, as a parent, decide if my kid has a smartphone or not?
Yeah, that's, at that point, there to tell someone that they can't have a gadget, that's like going in there and saying, okay, well, you can't have a PlayStation, because the kid can't be on the internet.
You can't have a stove.
But we're heading that way, so we laugh at it, but it's not too far from that type of future.
What do you mean?
Where they can just say, okay, well, your kid can't have a smartphone, and your kid can't go on the internet unless they're over this age, and they can't have a laptop, and they can't have a PlayStation because they until they're this age. And
The statement that sometimes government can parent better than actual parents, that's that's the part that gets me. At Harvard, their honesty researcher, Francesca Gino, she's literally an honesty professor.
How do you do a profession in honesty?
Right. I mean, how do you research honesty? I mean, anyway, her work is under a lot of fire for plagiarizing in some of her high-profile publications. A book chapter co-authored by her in 2023 looks to, she's committed research misconduct, they call it. It contains numerous passages of text with striking similarities to 10 earlier sources. Those sources include published papers and students' theses, according to an analysis by University of Montreal psychologist Aaron Achland in Science Magazine. They've confirmed that they identified 15 additional passages, borrowed text in two books. One book is called Rebel Talent, Why It Pays to Break the Rules at Work. And Sidetracked, Why Our Decisions Get Derailed and How We Can Stick to the Plan. Some passages duplicate text from the news reports on blogs or blogs. Others just contain phrasing identical to the passages from other literature. Man, her lawyer says that she's steadfast in her commitment to uncovering the truth in each instance, responding decisively and correcting the record if necessary. It's wildly unfair and prejudicial to litigate these accusations in the volatile domain of the public opinion. History has shown the peril of premature judgment, particularly within the scientific community where reputations can be irreparably tarnished. What does that even mean? Said she started to poke around in her, into her work after she filed a $25 million lawsuit against HBS, Harvard Business, and the data sleuths who uncovered the misconduct. She focused on plagiarism rather than data issues because her experience detecting it in student work. As she worked, she searched phrases from Gino's work on Google Scholar to see whether they matched content from other works. They did. The very first sentence. She said, I found apparent plagiarism in the very first sentence of the first work she assessed. Oddly enough, in a chapter called Dishonesty Explained.
I mean, she explained it there. So in a weird way, she actually did her job.
Oh, my God. She also stole from students. Three different students' theses. Thesis, rather. There apparently there's some technology out there called iThenticate that you can run stuff through, and it's got a database, yeah. And they know if you stole it from somebody or something like that. Man, everybody over there. I don't, we focus on Harvard because you think Harvard, you know, that's oftentimes considered the best of the best of the best, and or Harvard and Yale. But I wonder if you went down to University of Florida, if you found some professors plagiarizing.
Yes, without a doubt. I mean, if they're plagiarizing at Harvard, they're plagiarizing at every local university.
Hmm. That's true. Sam Bankman-Fried, guy who just got, what, he get 25 years?
Yeah, which he'll get like 6 total probably in the long run.
And how much will the $60 billion disappeared from his crypto scam? And he got a little bit of prison time. In Vietnam, a top property tycoon, Trong Mai Lan, they uncovered a $12.5 billion financial fraud, one of the biggest corruption cases in Vietnam's history. And they're going to execute her.
Yeah, that stops people from being dishonest.
Wow. By lethal injection, a fraud, a business fraud, is being punished by death. That's unusually severe punishment, I would imagine. She embezzled $12.5 billion, but prosecutors say the total damages could be amounted as high as $27 billion. That's 6% of Vietnam's GDP. Whoops. They say capital punishment's not rare in Vietnam. They've recently been named the biggest executioner in Southeast Asia by Amnesty International. They apply the death sentence for 22 different offenses, murder, including murder, drug trafficking, and rape.
Do you think they got a little certificate for that?
What?
Being the number one executioner from Amnesty International.
Oh, like YouTube yeah. sends you the plaque when it's you like get 100,000.
Right, it's right there on their website, too. Like, come to Vietnam, also number one.
Yeah, we had number one execution. Don't break law. Yeah. They aren't playing around there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll get the. Do we have any in the bank there?
We do.
From the Florida Man radio app. And powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats. Get the app, hit the button, listen to the archives. Here we go. You got 30 seconds. That's yesterday.
Star Trek guy here. Listen to yesterday's show. I think it was the Haiti gangster. Whack-a-mall. Do coke. Kill my haters. Isn't Whack-a-Mall and Kill My Haters a little redundant? That boy needs to go watch some Scarface and get some education. It should be Whack-a-Mall, do some coke, get some puta. Be-do-be-do.
Hey, Shannon, what's happening? It's Blind Lawrence out of Huntsville, Alabama. Considering the passing of O.J. Simpson, I'm just curious, is that infamous Ford White Bronco going to be part of the funeral procession? Because if it is, I'd like to offer my services to be the driver. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? Beedoo, beedoo.
A lot of jokes about a white Bronco-looking hearse. And, Al Callings, is he still alive?
That's a good question.
As soon as I heard it announced that O.J. had passed, I was like, damn, I wish Norm MacDonald would have outlived him. The jokes that he would have came up would have crushed. We'd been rolling. Be-do-be-do.
According to Wikipedia, Al Callens is still alive.
Oh, good for him. I'm sure he's crushed.
Yo, Shando, I remember back in late March 2012, early April 2012, you, Rick, and Colin... rest in peace, Colin. Had an interview y'all did with a guy that wrote a book about how he could prove OJ was innocent of the murders and how it potentially was his son that took part in doing those, and had a storage unit that he purchased with a lot of evidence and such, including like a potential murder weapon of the knife and things like that.
Yeah, I did. And the guy sent me a book. I got it at the house. They believe that he had the knife in a storage bin or something like that, storage area.
Hey, Shannon, how you doing? This is Big Al. Yeah, you could have came over to the house last night. You could have called me. He drove right by. He was right there. Keene's Point's across the street from me. You know, you've been here already. I love you. Show's great. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. 100,000 people.
Okay, thank you.
If you smell anything weird today, it's probably OJ burning in hell. Be do, be do.
Todd in Daytona. I moved up to this area about 30 years ago from South Florida. I'm so old, I remember when Dan Newland used to do ads for Morgan & Morgan. I believe he used to work for Morgan & Morgan, spun off and started his own firm. Other than that, I got another damn thing bad to say about that guy. Seems to be doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, Newland's a good guy. He's a very big military supporter, and he does free concerts all the time downtown.
Hey, guys. I'm willing to bet just about anything that guy that got arrested at the Planet Fitness probably actually did that on purpose, doesn't really identify as a woman, just to push the envelope and kind of prove a point to Planet Fitness. Tell me what
could
you
be.
Think. Beedo, beedo.
Could be.
Could be, or could just be a pervert that heard that as long as you say you're a woman, you can go do whatever you want in there.
Hi, this is Scott Pitthogs. I know they kicked me off the campus, but I'm mad, I tell you. I'll kick a cardboard box, I'll destroy it, I'll tear up a cardboard box, and you're not going to like it. I'm mad, I'm going to cry.
It's pretty funny because you seem to lack the knowledge and research of the Republican Party's direction with enforced laws and bans, which are comparable to communist countries like China and Russia. I guess you just have your head buried in the sand or something. I don't know.
What is he talking about?
I have no idea. It's his normal run by, just yell something out that he probably saw on Midas Touch today. And
you can tell by the way she talks that Rashida Tlaib neither knows what tropes is or how to spell it or anything about what it would relate to. You can just tell by the way she talks. She's a moron.
Racist tropes.
To me, the ADL is no different than the NAACP, Southern Poverty Law Center, or the ACLU. Yep. Other than that, they just focus on Jews and not other so-called minorities. But I'm not sure exactly what in our society is holding the Jews back if you look at their success. Bidu bidu.
They're just worried about defamation.
Yeah, that one Heather was talking about with the girl that has the crappy boyfriend or whatever, her parents being unfazed by that story is exactly what the problem is. It's because it comes from parenting. It's their fault. Terrible parents.
Well, it's not a pity hangout. These hot chicks always have a fat friend because it makes them feel better about themselves because they're shallow. I've seen that a million times, but my mom has always been brutally honest. When I was a kid, she used to call me fatso, and you know, and I remember we were walking into a football game one time, and it was like this real fat dude in front of us, like a monster or someone. And she's like, "I'm afraid you're gonna look like that one day." I mean, but dude, it cuts to you and it gets to you. I mean, it makes you straighten out. Yeah, and Heather, you're looking at this the wrong way.
All right, dude, just two in a row.
I didn't realize I was fat. I didn't know it even after I broke the bed, weighing 495 pounds. I eat 8 meals a day. My family said they loved me, and I love myself, even though I've spent my life savings on new clothes. It wasn't until I showed that picture to my mama, and she said, "Boy, you fat. You need to go on a diet."
So with the girl that wrote in, obviously, she's not okay with it, Heather, because she's writing him because it upset her. I do think her mother was a little harsh. She could have just, you know, made the comment, "Wow, you're one of the bigger girls there," and just left it at that. It doesn't matter. Her mother's not there to criticize her or make her feel bad. It could be the reason why she's so much the bigger friend is because maybe she's got an eating disorder because her mother's been telling her that crap her whole life. It's kind of rude. I'm not going to lie.
No. Bubba thinks he looks incredible, and he's got all of his hanger honors who, "Oh yeah, you look great, you look great." He's morbidly obese, and he's always bragging about how good he looks. Somebody ought to tell him the truth.
You obviously never saw a picture of 1990s Bubba in a gold lamé suit, specially built for a 450-pound man, whatever he was. I will say that he looks incredible these days compared to in his peak. He's also trying to steal my style with growing a little goatee too. Yeah, I know.
Star Trek guy, back to the BBW. Your mom's opinion doesn't matter. Your friends' opinions don't matter. The question you should be asking yourself is, are you having fun going out on Friday night? And what is the other option? Do you have a guy you can go out with? Or would you be sitting out at home by yourself? Take all your options, whichever one is the funnest, and go do that one. And enjoy your time. It's short on this earth. BDBU.
We're getting dark.
You know, everyone wants to be the first at something.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, how about being the first to commit a crime?
The first crime or a type of crime?
First to commit a type of crime, yeah.
Each crime has a very first?
What we can, you know, suss out from records and things like that. Right. You know, you find out that who may have hijacked the first plane or where the first war crime happened.
All right. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Oh. Maybe there were. I'm trying to find out what happened to the white Bronco during the break there. So, you know, the car wasn't OJ's. It was Al Cowling's white Bronco. OJ had a white Bronco. They had identical cars, same year. But at the time of the chase, OJ's vehicle had been impounded for evidence. And so Al Cowlings told Don Kreese, who worked for a sports agency, to sell it. He backed out of the deal. The dude he was going to sell it to sued him. He ended up making a deal with him. 2 months later, the dude that bought it sold it for $200,000. They didn't identify the buyer at the time. The guy was Polwer. His last name is Polwer. Made his money in pornography. He bought it to help Al Cowlings out, who filed for bankruptcy in 97. He didn't think the Bronco held any value. It sat in an underground parking garage at Polwer's luxury condo complex in L.A., where it sat so long that all the air leaked out of the tires. Just sitting there gathering dust. Then it resurfaced, appeared in Las Vegas outside the Luxor to publicize the opening of SCORE, a sports memorabilia museum. 6 months later, it was in Greenwich, Connecticut. It was at the Brandt Foundation for an art exhibit featuring an artist named Nate Lohman, who has used a topless picture of Nicole Simpson in his work. Bizarre way. Polwer moved. He got sick of the Bronco. He said, I think we should care more about the people that were killed than the Bronco. Not long before OJ was released from jail in Nevada, it was featured on an episode of Pawn Stars. One of Simpson's former agent had the vehicle, bought it from Cowlings. He turned out $500,000 offer and said he'd never sell it for less than $1 million. So now it's sitting next to Ted Bundy's Volkswagen and John Dillinger's Essex Terraplane in the Alcatraz East Crime Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, which I'm pretty certain is owned by our buddy John Morgan.
It was created and built by attorney John Morgan and chief operating officer Janine Vaccarello. So, yes.
John Morgan's got it. I got his white Bronco. Call my firm if you want to see it. I love John. He's a super guy. Huh. That's a great, that's a good thing to have if you have a crime museum.
I mean, right there with Bundy's Beetle. And...
Right. But where is the original one, I wonder? The original one that was taken in for evidence. What happened to that Bronco? This is the one that was in the chase, which belonged to Cowlings. Anyway. Man. San Francisco's finally come to at least a partial solution for its problem in the Tenderloin and the homeless problem there. The problem created by homelessness, which is a ton of vacant retail, is also going to solve the problem in a way, because now they can sleep there at night. It's a shelter for nighttime. Two different vacant storefronts on Turk Street in the center of the Tenderloin were transformed into a nighttime shelter and a daytime integrated community center. That means that's where you get your clean needles.
So basically they've just given up on that district.
Yeah, when you're converting vacant retail to homeless shelters, yeah, that's really just throwing the towel in at that point, because you're certainly not going to attract tenants that way, or anywhere near there for that matter.
Or you're going to lose more, because the retail that's right next door to that place is going to, as soon as their lease is up, they're out of there.
Hmm. Yeah, they have 128 shelters and subsidized housing facilities in the Tenderloin area as of March 2022. Good Lord. People in that area are like, look, it's a big city. Look somewhere else for these services. Not just here in the Tenderloin, or I guess Little Saigon is the same. What a pile of crap.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, at this point, they're giving up on that area. It's good. You know what? Well, we keep saying you got to find a place to put them. But if you're picking out retail areas out of there, then yeah, just say that this part of the city is now a homeless facility, because right, you're not going to have any businesses there.
Get a whole block, and then you'll have a ton of, you know, why don't you go to the Nordstrom that moved, and you pack a bunch of homeless people in there.
Yeah. And just, you've given up on that area. It's done. You're not gonna have anybody else that's going to want to move into that district to do any type of retail or any type of business. So you're just, you expect from here on out that every place is going to start pulling up as soon as their lease is done. You'll have an extra homeless shelter. So now you have your own little town.
The city had planned to fund a, quote, urban rest and sleep center run by some Filipino community development group. That funding was pulled in January due to the city's budget deficit. They said, whatever it takes, we will do it. The new project is funded by the Filipino group. The building owner and a third party, Build Incorporated, who agreed to pay the rent for 3 years on these two addresses. Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing said it's not involved. Dan Snyder of the Planning Department said the proposal will be heard at a project review. It's the very first formal step you could take. The building is owned by Frederick O. Lewis III, an affordable housing developer who has purchased, renovated, and sold over $500 million of California real estate. He claims that he's the largest private property owner in Oakland. I don't know if that's something to brag about these days. all right, let's get darker than the homeless problem in San Francisco.
A homeless city, it's great. That's a light in that beautiful district now.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
Everybody wants to be the first. And you also have to be the first to do a crime, too.
Don Lemon wanted to be the first guy to make a podcast in space.
And yet, where is he at now? He's over there having Adam Kinzinger on his show for five people to watch it. And most of those people that were, it went by and went, oh, wow, Don Lemon, Adam Kinzinger, skip.
Yeah, no one's going to watch that.
But throughout history, there have been people that have reached this infamous mark of being the first to do something when it becomes a crime, mainly because you kind of like throughout history, it had to be a point where we put stuff into banks. So, of course, you had to have the first bank robber.
Right.
We had moved goods and money with trains. So you had to be the first train robber.
OK, I follow.
I don't know what we're going to get to the future here. At some point, there'll be a murder in space.
Ooh.
Space murder, yeah.
No, you think?
Oh, there'll be a murder in space someday.
Well, there had to be a first guy to rob a general store, right? Mm-hmm. First shoplifter. All right.
Just imagine the Roman guy that the first guy to think, hey, if I could just take the loaf of bread from him and then we could try, they could try to stop me.
Hey, what if I didn't pay?
Oh, but it's always nearly claimed that the first plane hijacking of an aircraft occurred in 1931 when armed revolutionaries in Peru surrounded a plane that had just landed in Arequipa. To call this was a hijack was kind of a stretch because the pilot, Brian Richards, actually refused the hijacker's orders to take them off with them on board. He just sat there and he's like, what are you going to do? You can't fly a plane.
They could kill him. And well, then they're not going anywhere.
They're still not going anywhere.
Smart guy.
After a 2-week standoff, he was told that the revolution had been successful and he can go on and get out of here.
After how long?
2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, Byron had some, definitely some courage there just for two weeks
in a plane?
Yeah, I just sat like, all right, guys, anybody of you, it's 1931. What are the odds of a lot of you knowing how to fly this plane here? Now,
that's smart. Waited him out.
The first fatal aircraft hijacking on record took place in the United States on October 27th, 1939. Ernest Pletch. He was receiving flying lessons from an instructor named Carl Bivens. And Ernest, he dreamed of flying solo. So much so that he pulled a revolver from his pocket mid-flight and shot the instructor in the head.
Oh, Lord. I didn't have much of a choice, did he?
Nope. He then landed the plane, dumped Bivens' body out, and flew towards his house. See, Pletch had long been alienated from his family, and he later stated that he had planned to fly that plane to the side of his father's barn. Apparently, though, he chickened out. He never went through this with it, and he landed, at which point he was promptly arrested and jailed for murder.
What an idiot.
That's the problem with hijacking a plane.
Maybe he didn't know how to take off.
No, he got back off in the air.
Oh, okay.
He got enough instruction.
Why don't you steal a plane at night? There's no jail time involved. Well, maybe a little bit, but not for the murder.
Again, it's 1939. There's not a lot of planes around for you to go stealing.
That's true.
And if you were ready to just drive it into your old papa's old barn.
Oh, papa lesson.
The first record of a prehistoric battle dates from around 13,000 years ago. The site in northern Sudan is known as Cemetery 117. Not a great
Cemetery
name.
Cemetery 117.
They don't do a great name. It's also one of humanity's earliest formal graveyards. Of the 61 skeletons unearthed there, 45% show evidence of inflicted wounds, making this the earliest evidence of intercommunal violence in the archaeological record. It is not until about 5,000 BC that we find evidence of needless damage inflicted upon human casualties, though. At least 26 skeletons found in a pit at Skonik Killenstein were killed with arrows or blunt weapons. Significantly, these skeletons also show signs of mutilation, most notably the systematic breaking of the lower limbs, which suggests that this may have been the first war crimes, too. Not only were they killed for war, they were tortured after. The absence of younger women in the grave suggests the victims were captured during warfare and transported for being killed, which means that the mutilation may have occurred before death.
Oh. Just tortured and killed them.
Yeah.
They were POWs, more or less?
For 5,000 BC, yes.
Yeah.
There was no really convention rule.
Geneva Convention. Yeah,
there's no rules of combat or anything like that. The fact that they were maliciously torturing them. So technically, first war crimes.
Yep.
How about the first arson?
Ooh.
The enormous Temple of Artemis at Ephesus was built by King Croesus, was considered to be one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But in 356 BC, it was burned to the ground by a man named Herostratus. The motive?
Insurance claim.
Well, kind of.
Really?
Well, not so much an insurance claim, but if you are the man that burnt down the Temple of Artemis, what are you going to have distinction of?
Destroying religious, I don't know.
Everyone remembers your name. And Herostratus wanted his name to go down in the history books, so he burnt down the Temple of Artemis. In response, the Ephesian authorities promptly executed and suppressed all mention of his name under the penalty of death. Despite this, a book by Theopompus secured Herostratus' place in history as the first recorded arsonist. Have you ever committed the act of mooning?
Not on a large commercial scale, but, you know, my brothers and stuff. Never out of, like, a school bus window.
Never done a high school drive-by late at night.
Maybe.
Maybe some pressed ham.
Yeah, maybe.
Though mooning, the act of burying one's buttocks, did not become common until the moon in the Middle Ages, which makes it even more amazing that we had that long of a history of it.
How long?
Middle Ages, so we've...
Oh, humans, yeah.
We figured out that we could bare our ass and get a laugh out of
they
it.
They were doing it on the battlefield.
Yeah. The earliest recorded case actually dates from the Roman times. According to the Roman historian Josephus, a Roman soldier mooned a passing group of Jews who were celebrating Passover. It was not so much the mooning itself, but the act that accompanied it was caused by that it caused offense. As Josephus delicately put it, one of the soldiers, lifting up the back of his garments with his bottom to them, crouched in a shameless way and released a foul-smelling wind. The Roman soldier farted in the general direction of the Jews. The result of this was a riot that caused the death of more than 30,000 people.
What?
Yes.
Wow. A riot?
Yes. One time, passing of gas.
With your ass exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And it started a riot that ended up in what?
30,000 people.
30,000 people died?
Mm-hmm.
That's some riot.
It is perhaps probably the most lethal mooning of all time now, too.
Deadly. Well, he included, maybe it was just a mooning and not a fart. It would have been a different thing.
He went too far.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, the poor guy's celebrating Passover. They're like, all right, there's the bare ass of a Roman guy, whatever. But then when he ripped one,
it's gone too far.
It's too far. We're rioting and burning this place down. Some point in the 10th century, Vikings kidnapped a Native American woman and brought her to Iceland. An American set foot on Europe about 500 years before Columbus did. We also know that, thanks to the Code of Hammurabi, that slavery was instituted as early as 1750 BC in Mesopotamia. The code tells us that anyone who tried to rescue or steal another person's slave would be punished by death, and the system of slavery almost certainly involved kidnapping, but no specific accounts survive. So the actual earliest specific case of kidnapping was the famous abduction of the Sabine women in about 750 BC. Supposedly in those days, when Rome was still a village, there was a distressing shortage of women. Of course, this did not bode well for the men there that would like to continue to populate their civilization. So the Romans invited an entire population of the neighboring Sabines to a festival, at which point they snatched up all the virgins and forced them into marriage. Naturally, this kind of sparked a regional war, which the Romans won, putting them on track to become Europe's most powerful empire. And they got all of that Sabine tale.
Yeah, that's a lot. A lot of tale. How many are they talking about there?
It doesn't state, but they basically just took... They invited that whole other town over. Like, hey, we're going to party, guys. Yeah. And then immediately snatched all the women. Yeah. The earliest reports of torture come from Egypt, where whipping was used as a means of interrogation. Torture as a form of punishment was also rife. Anyone who committed parricide, the most taboo crime, was rolled naked through thorns and then burned alive.
Ooh.
The practice of torture continued into ancient Rome and Greece. Interestingly, though, a Roman slave's testimony was only valid in court if extracted by torture. Slaves were unreliable unless in great pain.
Wow.
It's kind of the opposite now. You can't actually get a confession with torture, but back then, the only way you could actually technically get a confession was if you tortured him first.
What do you mean? Like, that's the only way they would get...
That was the only way they would accept it in court.
Oh.
So if you brought your... if they brought the slave in... And the slave was just singing. He's like, oh, yeah, he did it. He definitely did it. And they're going to go, did you torture the slave first? And
yes, sir, Your Honor. We tortured him good, real good.
The Mosaic Code, written about 1000 BC, lists a range of torture familiar to us today. The code first introduced the idea of punishing adultery with good old-fashioned stoning.
Ah, to death?
Yes.
No, they never stone you, just to, you know, give you some bruises.
Yeah. There was also an early descriptions of torture with a specific person. A high priest named Menelaus was offended the Syrian king, was thrown into a large tower filled with ashes, and left to slowly suffocate.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that guy.
Yeah.
Ugh, what a way to go.
The first known homicide occurred about 430,000 years ago in northern Spain.
Wow.
When a pre-modern human, probably either Homo heidelbergensis or Homo neanderthalensis, I was hit in the head with a blunt instrument.
They know it was for...
It was murder.
Was there a reason?
Nah, it doesn't. I mean, 430,000 years ago. the shattered skull was found among other bone fragments in a limestone cave known as the Pit of Bones. It's deep in the Atapuera Mountains. Only after piecing together the skull fragments did scientists realize they had stumbled upon the world's oldest case. The nature of the damage suggests the victim died of his or her injuries, which may have been caused by a wooden spear or stone axe.
Hmm.
How about one of the first suicides? One of the earliest reported cases of suicide was that of Empedocles, an ancient Greek philosopher, around 492 BC. Legend has it he jumped into the crater of Mount Etna, hoping people would think he had become a god. the effect was spoiled when one of his trademark bronze sandals was ejected by the volcano and discovered. So.
Really?
Yeah.
So that means he was not a god?
I think he was kind of like, hey, he jumped into the volcano, was never not even hurt. He just disappeared.
Right.
The volcano just popped out a sandal. About 15,000 years or 1,500 years before that, a man in Egypt penned in what is now considered to be the oldest surviving suicide note, known as The Debate Between a Man and His Soul. The note explores the man's reason for being tired of life. He wrote, "Behold, my name is detested. More than the smell of vultures on a summer day when the sky is hot. To whom can I speak today? Men's faces are averted." So he was sad.
Oh, poor fellow.
How about the first prostitution?
The oldest profession.
It is the oldest profession.
It's got to be like ass crack of humanity.
Well, Herodotus tells us that the Babylonians had a custom whereby all women, no matter how high born, had to give their bodies to the goddess Melita, at least once in their lives.
Goddess,
yes. They sat inside the temple and were required to sleep with whichever man desired him. All proceeds, of course, went to the goddess rather than the woman. So,
goddess was the pimp.
Yeah, basically a goddess pimp. So once during your life, you had to show up in the temple and sit there.
Bang a guy for money.
And then a guy would come in there like, I got some coins. And then, the money would go to the goddess. You had to sleep with the guy.
Wow.
It's among the records of the Sumerians, though, dating from 2400 B.C., that we find the earliest institution of prostitution as a profession. Priestesses of the goddess Ishtar would give their bodies to men who donated to the temples. Far from being criminals, these priestesses were treated as something like holy sex therapists, enabling the clientele to enjoy the powers of Ishtar directly.
Yeah.
And how about...
all the scam in the book.
Yeah. You know, they tell you, oh, the money's not for me. It's going to Ishtar. And you get to enjoy some Ishtar. I think you hear that same thing with the ladies down at OBT every once in a while, too.
Ishtar getting it.
Yeah, get you to Ishtar. So we know of the genocide, the term that's thrown around so often. It has pretty much almost lost its meaning.
Sure has.
Especially for a term that really was only invented, I believe, in the 60s, 50s or 60s, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yeah, somewhere around there.
But there were earlier genocides, even though they weren't called that. There was a 2009 study of the remains of a Neanderthal man killed by a spear thrown at him at a time when only humans threw spears, adding to a mounting body of evidence that the Neanderthals met their end at the ends of the Homo sapiens. A true genocide.
Well, that is a genocide.
Huh. The earliest record of a case of state-backed genocide, however, is the massacre of the inhabitants of Melos by the Athenians during the Peloponnesian War. When the Melians refused to surrender, the Athenians put all the men to death, sold all the women and children as slaves, and as for justification, no one sums it up better than the Athenians themselves. They say, the strong do what they want, and the weak suffer what they must. And we got those sweet Melinian tales as well. So.
Pretty much. When we return, there's a man in Norfolk who believes near Great Yarmouth in the UK. He believes that he might be a climate refugee. I don't think he's understanding what the climate refugee. I don't think we've had a climate refugee. They say that no one's left their, had to leave their country because it was too hot.
We'll start hearing that soon here, though.
Yeah. His case is a little bit different. Margot Robbie, it's got a new movie planned. It sounds like it's going to suck. Stick around. It's a Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Picture Association is, they've revealed a plan there that would make some, using pirate shop websites in order to get movies for free, trying to make it more difficult. His name is Charles Rifkin. He says that the association is going to work with Congress to establish and enforce site blocking legislation in the United States. He adds that 60 countries use site blocking as a tool against piracy, including leading democracies of many of America's closest allies. The only reason the U.S. isn't one of them, he says, is a lack of political will paired with outdated understandings of what site blocking actually is. Site blocking is the old days, I was telling you the story earlier, I had a friend, I won't mention any names. His father had a little business in a room. He had one room that had like 20 or 30 VCRs on shelves, and they all connected to a master VCR so you can make movies. And he had another, a similar room with cassettes. And the folks at Disney got wind of it, and they don't mess around, and they charged him, and he got a little bit of slap in the hand. He went back, did it again, and he got busted again and did a couple of years in the federal jail, prison. With this rule, film, TV, music, book publishers, sports leagues, and broadcasters can ask the court to order ISPs to block websites that share stolen content. The problem with that is another one will pop up, right, out of nowhere.
They've done that for years, yeah. They've tried to whack-a-mole them away, and they come right back because, guess what? That's just what you're going to have to deal with on the internet. The loss that they take on that is so minimal, but they just are so tight-fisted, miserly about their stuff that they want to be like, oh, we got to stop completely.
Apparently, this outfit called FM Movies, an illegal film streamer, is one of the sites they're looking to block. Apparently, FM Movies gets 160 million visits per month, a third of which come from the United States. If the rule also exists in the country, then the website's traffic would theoretically drop pretty drastically. And what are they getting out of it?
Traffic on the site.
To sell ads?
Sell ads.
Pop-ups?
Yeah, pop-ups.
The MPA's chairman talked about previous efforts to enforce site blocking in the United States, which critics previously said would break the internet and potentially stifle free speech. I don't like the ability to block a website. You know? And it's always Hollywood. I mean, what are they losing? Really? I mean,
profit.
If most movies that are out today, unless they're first run movies, or recent movies, you're either paying for them from a streaming part of your stream, you know, whatever you pay Netflix a month, you're just getting a tiny little bit of profit. They're losing, I think, would be a minuscule amount of money. And what is it mainly? Sports stuff, movies, or people stealing? I mean, we're in an era where you could practically, any movie ever made, you could find online and watch it on part of a streaming service without paying for the individual movie.
Yeah, first run stuff, stuff in theaters. I mean, it's not as prevalent as it used to be of the guy in the theater with his camera and his hoodie recording the movie.
Sports leagues, you think will they get in on it as well? Because there are plenty of when I lived outside of the Cowboys area, whenever there was always before there was satellite, you know, the NFL network, there was always a website that you could and it was difficult to find. My friends always had to help me find it, but you can get a grainy Cowboy game there, and I would just plug my TV into the laptop and watch it.
Oh, they try to stop that. They try to whack-a-mole that too, because there's times where I've been able to pull up NFL games on YouTube. It's being broadcast by a guy somewhere in Asia somewhere.
Right. Well, let's see.
I just think for an industry that already has so little goodwill after this past year between the writer strike and the actor strike, yeah, and them basically talking down to people about how dumb they are and how much money more money they need, even though they all make way more than everybody else. Even when they were during their strike, they lost goodwill because the people that they should have been striking for, which is the down the list people and the cast and the crew and things like that, they right. kind of left them behind.
Yep, they sure did. And they're going to strike now, I hear.
Well, I mean, they lost out on all that money because the other people were on strike and they didn't get to work during that time period and they didn't make any extra money out of that deal. So, of course, I don't blame them at this point. But then you'd go out there and be like, okay, we got to get people back to theaters. What's the first thing we should do? Oh, let's go after the people that we think are stealing from us.
Do you really think that? I mean, when you download it off one of these sites, do you own it then? You got like an MP4 of it or something?
Yeah, usually. Now,
is it quality?
It varies. And also, there's a good chance you've downloaded a virus at the same time.
Uh-huh. That's what they ought to do. Just go stick viruses in all of these things. Well, that's against the law too, isn't it?
Kind of. There's a lot of video game people have gotten away with blocking piracy by they'll put it out there, like the game for download, but they'll either tweak some things that they know if you've pirated it, the game will become unplayable midway through, or
These hackers were able to. I'm sure they bought it. They may have bought the movie and then burned it and then made a file for it, and that's the way they do it. But and movie theaters can't put watermarks on everything. It ruins the shot, right? The screen. Well, if you're in the Leavenworth, Kansas area, I highly suggest you stop at the Sis Sweets Cookies and Cafe and buy as many cookies as you can afford, because there's a good chance that one of them contains the a solitaire diamond worth around $4,000 that fell out of a lady's ring that was making cookies that day. Dawn Moore, one of the owners, she said she noticed that whatever that center diamond had fallen out. She hasn't gone a day without wearing it in 4 decades. It was missing. After making cookies at the bakery, she said, bonus, if you buy a cookie today, my diamond is missing. My heart is broken. It's been on my hand for 36 years, but if you happen to find it, I would be forever in debt if you returned it.
Time to start putting the colander over the toilet.
Well, you know if you put a diamond in your mouth while you're eating a chocolate chip cookie.
You swallow it.
They think it's worth around $4,000.
Now I'm curious if someone bites in the cookie and breaks a tooth, is she going to pay for their...
Yeah, she better. Well, she'll get her diamond back that way for sure. Yes. Oh, that's terrible. She's really concerned about that, mainly. That's why she put out the Facebook thing. She goes, mainly, I don't want anyone to break a tooth. Because then, you know, their bakery's owned by somebody else.
Well, or she also wants them to know that's her diamond that they broke a tooth on. Because somebody breaks a tooth and is like, hey, I got a diamond.
Or they go to, I mean, this is technically your diamond right now, isn't it? If they lost it in your cookie, you bought the cookie, you're eating a cookie, you paid for it. In France, we talk about the post office here. Everybody's upset because of the stamp. I go to 73 cents from 68 cents. Be thankful you're not in France. That post office there is literally trying to find a way to survive. And one of the things they're looking into is to eventually evolve their postal service into a premium Meals on Wheels service. That's just, I mean, I don't begin to understand where the, you know, where, as a, they're not going to cook stuff, are they?
No, they're just going to be delivery people. I didn't.
Like a state-owned DoorDash.
Kind of, but my question, France must have laws against junk mail, because I think junk mail is keeping our postal service going right now anyway. Was just the amount of actual mail that you get is so low.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always got crap, because my wife signs up for all kind of stuff. We will deliver your meals today, huh? Right now, we carry out 10% of food deliveries. Man, their parcel deliveries and letter deliveries there have dropped from 70% of their business in 1990 to 15% of their business in 2024.
I have one letter from your Aunt Margot and your baguettes.
And your Wingstop order. They work with community centers, hospitals, caterers. The drivers bring mostly elderly people more than 15,000 meals a day there. If you start buying more food, you might be able to keep their postal service afloat. Even with the zero letters. I don't know. If I trust them. Well, yeah, I trust. I don't know if I trust them with my food. I mean, that's kind of a demeaning to the guy that's been in the postal service for years. Now you're a glorified DoorDash.
Yeah, but who knows what his retirement plan is?
Oh, he probably got a nice pension.
Yeah, got a nice, real nice pension. I'll deliver Meals on Wheels if it's a government job pension with it.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. This is a story about an 85-year-old badass grandma in Bingham County. What the hell is that? Oh. Christine Ginnions sitting there at the house. She had a disabled son sleeping down the hall. A guy comes in the house and points a gun at her. 2 o'clock in the morning, a fellow by the name of Derek Condon, dressed in a military jacket, black ski mask, pointing a 9mm at her head, shining a flashlight in her face. He hit her while she was in bed, causing her to bleed. He slapped handcuffs on her and took her into the living room and cuffed her to a chair and demanded she cough up all the values. Where are the jewels? Where are the this? Her son, David, sleep down the hall. She did not reveal that he was there. He handcuffed her to a wooden chair. She told him she did not have any valuables. He put the gun to her head, and then she said, okay, there's two safes downstairs in the home. He left her handcuffed in the living room while he rummaged through several rooms in the house, searching for anything of value. He discovered during the search he threatened to kill her multiple times because he couldn't find anything. At one point, he left the room to shuffle around and find some things. She managed to drag the chair over to her bed where she kept a .357 Magnum under her pillow. By the way, she had been shot during this. This is where the shootout happens. Then she pulled out her .357, engaged the man, striking him with both of her shots after he threatened to kill her once again. Then he opened fire on her with his pistol, hit her once in the abdomen, once in the leg, arm, and chest. Four bullets Granny took. He was mortally wounded, staggered into the kitchen, and died on the ground. She is still cuffed, meanwhile, and she fell to the floor where she remained for 10 hours. She's rushed to the hospital where... she's since been released.
Yeah, she's tough.
That is one tough. 85 years old, and you took four bullets, and not to mention you kept a .357 Magnum under your pillow.
She also probably called him a bitch, too, after he shot her.
That's a big old gun, too, for an 85-year-old woman. They found out he got in through the back. He broke a window. He also had a lockpick on his person. That is absent a clear attempt by Khanna to retreat from the residence or surrender, which, based on the evidence, clearly did not occur. No charges are filed. Hell no. She gets a medal. This guy that lives in the UK lives on had a beautiful home on the North Sea there in a coastal region of near Hemsby, Great Yarmouth. Well, he's on the water. It's on a cliff. There's some erosion. Boom, house goes into the sea. He's a climate refugee. He believes. There was one in the U.S. I forget where it was. It was just hanging off the edge in California somewhere.
Yeah, it was in California.
I don't know what happened to that house. I'm sure it was condemned. If it hadn't slid off yet, he lost his home due to coastal erosion, and now he believes that he is a climate refugee. 500,000 properties could be at risk of collapsing or flooding, three times that figure set to be in danger by 2080. Now he's suing the government. After a landmark ruling of the European Court of Human Rights on Tuesday, which found the Swiss government violated human rights of a group of around 2,500 elderly women by not acting on climate change. They criticized the court's judgment and insisted that decisions over the climate response should be for elected politicians. He's now backed by a group called Friends of Earth. They say the government's current provision for people adversely affected by climate change, for example, from floods and extreme heat, is insufficient. So it's the government's fault that he chose to build his house on a cliff.
Yeah. So, all right. You get government housing in the middle of the city and that's what you get.
He was angry when he told told him that his home was uninhabitable last November and no longer safe for him to live there. A storm left another road on the way to his house on the brink of collapse. He's lived there for 14 years. And, it must be cheap to live there. He bought it for $85,000 14 years ago. Coastal, waterfront. Somebody knew something at that point. Oh, yeah. It's $85,000. It's a good deal. Yeah, don't worry about it. We don't need the money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the tide only comes up to your front door every once in a while.
The road hardly ever washes out over there either. Don't worry. It's going to be fine. Another reason I'm Cruise ships are not attractive to me. A 20-year-old has jumped off the Royal Caribbean cruise in a reportedly drunken, impulsive leap. The father of Le'Veon Parker, Francel Parker, told the Daily Sun that he believes his child, whom he called a master diver, is still alive in the waters off the Bahamas. As soon as he went off the side, I prayed over him. I was confident the prayers I said over him were heard. I stand by the word of God. I believe that he is alive. They have called off the searches.
That's because he's dead.
Yeah, there are a lot. Rarely do people, it's weird that they can't just stop the boat, right? But they can't and maybe circle around or send out a little boat.
Well, it's just not something that you just can slam on the brakes.
Right. He jumped off the 18-story Liberty of the Seas, 4 o'clock in the morning.
He was more than likely dead when he hit the water.
Yeah. This guy, Francel, runs an AC business in Port Charlotte. He said he wasn't arguing with him, and his son wasn't trying to take his own life. He was a skilled diver. He worked on a commercial fishing boat. Someone gave him alcohol. He's 20 years old. They gave him alcohol. He was drunk on the cruise. He said, we don't drink. And I'd like to know how my son was served so much alcohol. Another passenger on board the cruise who witnessed the jump said that Francel, the father, was fussing at him for being drunk. Well, okay. So you think that if he can prove that some bartender on that boat was feeding him liquor, that they're partially responsible for that, even though you're drunk? I don't know. And that's a dumb thing to do. Hey, your dad's bitching if you're being drunk. You just say, oh, I was just going to jump over the...
Yeah, watch me show you.
I mean, 18 stories, you're that's like you're hitting the pavement at that, you know? When he went over to his dad, he said, I'll fix this right now. And he just jumped off. The crew was alerted immediately. He threw 6 life rings off the ship in hopes of saving his son before the vessel was able to come to a stop 20 minutes later. He immediately launched a search boat to look for the 20-year-old, alerted the Coast Guard. And they took over the search at that point. Man, I had no idea, but since the year 2000, 406 people have gone over the edge of a cruise.
Yeah, you hear about it quite a bit. Like every month or two or so, we've seemed to have had a one or two.
Wow. Death rates among overboard passengers and crew members vary significantly among cruise lines. But even the safest cruise companies are only able to rescue 40% of the people that fall or jump off their ship. Yeah, you're a goner. Man. I mean, what do you think you're going to do? You know, tread water for hours and hours and hours?
Yeah, I don't get it. I've never understood the people that do the jumping off of it.
Raccoon?
Yeah, I saw him earlier.
I mean, he's got rabies if he's outside in the daytime, right?
Or he's cold from the rain.
Rabies rat. Oh, that's sad. But that freaked me out too. Just the thought I could go, over the edge, or someone could throw you over the edge and not say anything, and you're done. This poor dude. I'm probably sorry for later. This guy, something fell out of the sky, through the sky's home, and as he was brushing his teeth, he saw a hole there, and he wasn't sure what a giant metal object came through. It weighed about 25 pounds. He said, "I don't know what happened." He was talking to the TV news. I started making up a story in my head. Maybe it was a rock. Maybe it was part of an asteroid. Maybe it was part of an airplane. His home in Kitcher's Chicopee neighborhood, 10 minutes from the Waterloo International Airport. They reached out to the Transportation Safety Board in Canada. They have no record of the incident. The airline company, Flair, doesn't sound like a room. Nothing has come off of any of their aircraft. Meanwhile, they're left without questions. including what the object is and where it came from. Didn't they come out to take it?
He says the insurance company came and took it.
Ooh. I'll tell you what, it looks like it could be from outer space. It's a giant hunk of metal.
Some men in black came and took that.
They were as shocked as we were because they didn't know what happened to it either. Someone came to see the damage just to make sure and reported they couldn't fathom what happened. It was steel. If it had fallen a little more to the left, I probably wouldn't be here today. He says their insurance company, Kaluyan, came and took the object away. How could they take it away? That's your property.
No, they're going to say it was part of the claim. We had to figure out what it was so we could we knew to charge.
Oh, okay. UFO. You know, I know it. We'll return. Kimmer and Pete. If I can find my... our buddies Kimmer and Pete. They're back off of vacation now. We'll talk to them next. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Pinellas was driving around on three tires Monday night. Man, it's Monday. You've already driving around on three tires. That's a bad look. Poor Anna Louise Keller received multiple people. The cops got multiple 911 calls that she's driving a dark gray Nissan recklessly, no passenger side front tire. They spotted her driving on Hamlet Boulevard. The deputies conducted a traffic stop to do a welfare check on her. She admitted to drinking and told deputies that she was unaware that she was missing a tire.
That happens.
I mean, after you have a flat, you have not a whole lot of time before that tire is gone, especially if you're going to a decent speed limit and you're just down on the
you're
rim.
Hearing that sucker.
And if it was at night, you'd definitely see the sparks come flying off of your vehicle. They found four empty Busch Light beer cans in a bag. Busch Light.
Man, four Busch Lights and she was riding on three tires?
Something tells me the Busch Lights were an encore of several shots of whiskey or something.
All right, Tammy, it's time to do the alphabet again.
It's been so long, I don't know how I can do it. Have you seen John Goodman lately?
Yeah, he's in great shape.
He looks amazing. He's lost 200 pounds. And I don't know what Billy Gardell, who's by the way from Orlando here, I don't know how much he's lost either, but it's about the same. So then I think both Billy Gardell and John Goodman were by and large, comedic actors. Both of them, I don't know about Billy Gardell, but Goodman has played serious roles, but doesn't make him, I mean, he couldn't go back to the Roseanne ha-ha funny stuff this skinny, could he, and be funny?
I mean, he does the Roseanne sequel
show.
They
still shoot it?
I don't know if they're still doing it.
I mean, look, that's what he used to look like.
Yeah.
And that's...
Oh, yeah, he's in incredible shape.
He looks like that now.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing that Roseanne show in that probably not much off of what he is now.
And a little bit of boxing, he said. He hits the mitts, hits the bags, learns his footwork. But he's not going to be sparring. He doesn't want to get hit in the face. I'm with him. I should probably have my phone.
Probably a little Ozempic in there, too, though.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it either, you know? But the people that are relying on the Ozempic aren't also taking up a boxing class and doing other stuff. He said his exercise routine had lapsed after COVID. But now he's back at it. He makes a great bad guy. Look at this picture of him.
Yeah.
Damn.
He is a great villain.
Yeah. As a bad guy. I think that the reason because we know him as such a jovial fat guy. Now he's now he's a bad dude. He said, I used to shove everything in my mouth. Now I control my portions. I get rid of my old habits, blah, blah, blah. And resulted in a 200 pound. He even stopped drinking booze. That's not really, he's not out there preaching to anybody.
No, I mean, he's just living his life. He's not out there going out and telling everybody they need to drop a bunch of weight.
Rosanna dropped some weight.
Yeah.
She looks good. If you've ever been robbed, burglarized, your car is broken into, your house robbed, you feel really violated. It's a horrible feeling. In this case, I think the boys are ready. If the guy drops a deuce in your house and leaves it without flushing the toilet, that's even more.
What's even more with that person, though?
What do you mean?
Because that's not a dude.
What do you mean it's not a dude?
That did the robbery. That was a lady that left the deuce.
Oh, did they use it to find her? A large bowel movement.
Price index rising 2/10.
No, they're on break still.
Officers were patrolling downtown. They spotted a woman wearing some of the stolen clothing from that she had nabbed before she dropped her deuce, and they searched her and found more of the property, including jewelry and coins. She's been charged with a break-in.
That's the biggest violation you can do to someone's house.
Taking a dump? At least you did it in the toilet.
Yeah, but to leave it and enough to where they said it was significant. Like, they were impressed with it because they told the reporters. It wasn't just, okay, there's a little floater in there.
Yeah, I'm horrified if I forget, you know, like right before I take a shower, if I go to the bathroom, it just shows the lid because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hit the flush because my shower's getting hot. And I get out and I open up and I'm like, oh, my God. It's disgusting. A large bowel significant movement. I mean, I wouldn't be worried about a burglar to do it because you have, you know, it's DNA in your stool, I would imagine, right?
I mean, how badly did you have to go though that you were like, okay, I'm breaking this house, I'm stealing their stuff. Whoa, I shouldn't have eaten those crystal burgers ahead of time. Gotta use the old master bedroom.
What do you mean?
For the bathroom.
Oh, the good one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't go to if you're breaking into someone's house, you don't go to their side one, their guest bathroom.
Half bath, down by the kitchen. Yeah. You want to sit up in the big house. They'll be ready at about 30, they say. I don't know, you can steal $300,000 in Legos, but some people did. California Highway Patrol discovered searching warrants at 4 sites in L.A. How do they know we're stolen?
Oh, they know.
These look hot to me. You got a receipt for these, buddy? $300,000 in Legos? Are they some special Legos?
No, Legos are just expensive now.
I guess. It doesn't look like a whole lot. All right, they're ready. Ladies and gentlemen from
The Man Radio.
X-R-1063 in Atlanta.
Everybody.
The Killer and Pete and Flounder. Hello, guys.
How's it going, my friend? What's going on?
Going great. Going great. It's a nice day. We had a little storm. It's over now. It's nice and cool outside.
Yeah,
I'm getting ready to put on I found a vintage album of you and the Soprano Glee Club leading the Sopranos to their first chair. Where we're going to just kind of relax.
Very funny.
We're going to relax with some of that.
I'm very funny. Somebody's been telling secrets of the Kimmer down to make fun of the Kimmer show. That's true. I swear to God. I was the first soprano in the Boys Glee Club in sixth grade. And then my voice changed, obviously, at some point.
Just a bit.
I've always been in Glee Club. I was in the youth choir in church and all that kind of stuff. We were forced to play an instrument. In my family growing up, we had to play an instrument.
Oh, good.
And my parents were big in the choirs. My dad led the church chorus for a while. And so anyway, it was just, you know, just for singing. But we just loved to sing. Anyway,
well,
how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I got a real big question. Who
will
continue the hunt for the real killer?
Well, you know, it's a damn shame that, one of our comedians, I think Norm MacDonald, we're going to play one of his bits later, too.
I have that one at the ESPN gig. Yeah, it's hysterical.
Isn't it ironic? the very person you were trying to find was the one who killed her. I'll be damned. I guess there aren't enough golf courses to find the actual killer, as it turned out.
Yeah.
He's roasting in hell. I mean, there's no question about it. And I don't mind speaking ill of the dead. He's a scumbag. He's a dirty, rotten, double murderer butcher. And it wasn't enough that he went to prison for several years for the stupid robbery thing in Vegas or whatever it was.
Right.
He's burning in hell. It's unbelievable. The whole thing. God, and what a story. I'm thinking about, thinking about Marsha Clark and having an affair with Darden and Judge Ito and Cato. I mean, all the people and the autopsy. It sounded like a black guy. Oh, objection, Your Honor. That's racist. You can't say it sounds like a black guy. Remember all that stuff going? Oh, my God. Marsha Clark's short skirts. They went nuts over. Oh, my God.
The whole thing. It was like the first time I think our country was engulfed in the trial of the century on TV in my lifetime.
The white Bronco chase and him in the back seat with a gun to his head, Al Cowling. And again, this was not used in court, but if I remember correctly, when he was in jail, when they first put him in jail, and who's the football player? Rosie Grier?
Yeah, it was Rosie Grier.
Yeah, was in the jail with him, and a jailer overheard Rosie Grier and O.J. talking, and a jailer overheard O.J. say, "I did it! I'm sorry! I did it! I killed her!" And he wasn't allowed to say it because he overheard because Rosie Grier was acting as his minister.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I don't remember that part of that.
Yes, sir. It was just a thing, and then it disappeared because Rosie Grier was his minister.
There were all kind of nonsense stories. It was a very engaging trial. You couldn't take your eyes off
God.
Of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a guy on years ago who claimed that it was O.J.'s son that actually did it. He wrote a book about it. And he said that he found a storage place where there was a bunch of stuff from O.J.'s house put in there. And the murder weapon was found. It was a knife. And
really?
Yeah. I don't know. The guy could have been full of crap. But, I think most of the world agrees that he, is a murderer.
Well, I think I mentioned earlier that, O.J., when he got to Chicago and he got to where he was going, had a huge cut in his finger, like 2 or 3 inches, gouged deep in his finger, and he claimed he broke it on a glass in his hotel room, which is nonsense.
When he heard the news,
And what happened was, I remember somebody testifying that when O.J. got out of his limo or cab or whatever it was at the airport, he was carrying a gym bag, which he dropped into one of those great big trash barrels in front of the terminal at Chicago's O'Hare. And that's where the bloody knife went.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow. But he got off.
Yeah, he got, yeah. Because they couldn't prove it. Nobody, that's hearsay. You didn't, we can't, you don't know what's anything about it. I mean, it was unbelievable, the whole thing. And again, the reaction, I don't know where you were when the reaction came into the trial, but Pete and I were talking about, our newsroom was filled with everybody watching the TVs in our newsroom.
Yeah.
And all the black women.
Yes.
Screaming and yelling, "Yay, boy." And everybody going, "Wow, are you kidding me?" I couldn't believe the racial breakdown, which is amazing because everybody knows he did it.
Yeah.
It was like a reaction to get over the Rodney King thing, one for the black guy or something. It was unbelievable.
I was at a bar around the corner from my bar, having a pizza, drinking a beer, watching the TV. Everybody's in there waiting for it. And I remember hearing it being blown away, and there was quiet in the bar. And then I stepped outside downtown Austin, and there were horns honking, people screaming and yelling, and it was something else. It was really... really something.
I mean, what an event. The whole thing was as such. I mean, the chase with the Bronco and remember the people on the overpasses, "We love you, O.J.," and big Simon, and they knew where he was going, so they were waiting for him and stuff, and they had big signs, "We love you, O.J.," God.
If the glove don't fit, you must quit.
I think Domino's Pizza made more money that night than they ever have because no one left their TVs.
You're right.
Yeah.
Let me get your opinion on what's happening with Catherine Herridge right now. She spoke on The Hill. Talked about her situation with CBS. I think that, and you're a journalist, Kim, a real serious journalist.
Well, she has a master's in journalism,
right?
A public admin. Yeah,
she is as well. And I think one of a handful of trusted journalists today that are really still at it in its purest form. She gets fired. They take all of her stuff. Blah blah blah. They're looking for her. Can you recall, Kim, the last time or any time in your lifetime where a journalist has been held in contempt and fined $800 a day because they won't give up a source?
Well, there was a case of Valerie Plume, I think, the CIA agent undercover thing, and there was wasn't that
Plame?
Pete, you may Plume or Plame? Plame was a Plame, I think. I guess it was. And I think someone refused to give up a source on that. And there have been people
jailed
for it.
But they were usually.
This is different.
They were backed by their corporate entity, the New York Times or Washington Post backed them. CBS just kicked her out the door, didn't they?
Yeah. Right. And not only that, they took all her stuff. They said, we'll collect everything and give you what we want you to have back. I mean, it's Gestapo tactics. Just, we'll see you to the door. Hell, they did that with me when they got rid of me over at the last radio station. They said, "We'll get your stuff for you later." Here's the door. See ya.
SAG-AFTRA had to step in and help her get these. Did you guys really not get your stuff back from the last place?
No, I got it all. Yeah. Well, but they weren't going to stop me. I said, "Oh, really? I'll just go ahead and do what I want. Thank you." And they, sorry. You know, yeah, they weren't about to. No, this was. Yeah.
I had it all packed in a box. I was ready.
I was ready too. I was absolutely ready to go. Yeah. What a day.
Mercy. Anyway. You know this, but this media thing, Shannon. Think about this. That story. I didn't do justice to it at all about the NPR executive.
Oh my God.
When I saw the I saw the story in writing, but I didn't when I saw him being interviewed that night on Jesse Water, I saw the interview. I thought, holy cow! I wish America could listen to this guy who is not a screaming Republican. He's just a guy. He's a pretty straightforward guy who's in journalism and writing business. And still, he said you can't believe. He said he looked at the political affiliation. He looked at the registration card.
Yeah.
Not a single Republican. Every single person was a Democrat. And when he noticed that at the meeting, he said, "Well, good. That's what we wanted. We don't want to be interfered with by those other people."
Right.
I mean, taxpayer money doing this.
Absolutely. Yeah. The clock is ticking on when he gets fired. I mean, how long are they going to keep him around?
Like, he'll be doxed. He's out there. They don't respect him. They don't want him. How could you work there? I mean, what's he going to fight alone? Talk about going upstream. Jeez. This media thing, honestly, if we can't get this back under control with a media that starts telling the truth about it, because it affects our elections. It made President Crime Family a white trash president for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, because they hid in the basement and they let him get away with it. And the FBI helped, the DOJ, the media helped him out and covered everything up. And there you are. You got a president.
And we're going the way of Brazil right now. Have you seen how Brazil's dealing with Elon Musk and telling you must take this guy off your service. You got to take this guy. You got to remove this thing. If you don't, $800,000 fine or whatever it is. And he just said, F it. I'm not going to do it. Yeah. It's out of principle here. If they want me out of Brazil, I guess we're out of Brazil.
Yeah, I got a feeling that it would be a bad mistake to try to take on Elon Musk. You know, I'll bet you he's got some sort of these like drone probes that are like a half an inch in diameter and have poison darts in them or something. He could send over the Rio Grande. I mean, honestly, I don't think he ought to be messing with Elon Musk. I think he's got the resources and the power to pretty much do anything he wants.
Well, he certainly he could be real deep on the bench in terms of legal representation.
He could probably ruin their economy if he wanted to. If he really wanted to go after, go after the central banking system of a nation, I guarantee you can make their lives miserable. Absolutely.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. Trump was in town here yesterday at Dan Newland's house, injury attorney here. Drove right by us on the highway. We didn't see it.
Oh, you did?
No, we didn't. He's getting $25,000 for a photograph with him.
Yeah. Yeah, not well. Hey, whatever. I mean, if you got the money and you want to,
I got mine for free. But I don't think I sell it.
Well, there you go. And the other thing was it stop at Chick-fil-A, and boy, that got some attention here, which is good. And again, they're saying, "Oh yeah, it's God's burger. It's God's chicken sandwich."
I like how he says, "I need 30 vanilla shakes and some 30. Chicken."
Some chicken. Everybody gets a shake.
You got chicken, right? I
have
some chicken.
Have some for us.
I've never seen Biden buy anybody lunch or a shake or, just get himself an ice cream cone and call it a day.
Yeah, the old man walks in to get an ice cream cone like everybody's old grandfather should do and talk to the kids and sniff their hair. And by God, let's elect him again because he's just a nice old man.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
What a sweet old guy.
He's coming after our guns again. Just made a new deal today where he's going to crack down on gun shows, make sure that they have to be registered. So they have to demand your background before you go to a gun show anymore and buy a gun.
Really?
Yep.
What if you list a gun in the classified pages and a guy comes to your house and you sell it to him that way?
The problem is he's going after the people. He's expanding the background checks by closing the gun show loophole, which means the dealers stipulate any individual who repeatedly sells weapons to make money now has to get a gun license. So even if he comes to your house, if he's selling a gun to make money, he has to get a license or he's going to jail. And if he gets a license, then he has to have you get a background check, or he's going to jail. So see what he's doing?
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, he's not changing the law. He's just saying, from now on, you have to get this. It's like a license thing. Instead of a tax, it's a fee kind of deal.
Right.
And he's not raising taxes. He's just charging extra fees to get into a state park.
It's not easy to get a gun dealer license.
No,
that's jumping through a lot of hoops.
Yeah. And plus, I'm sure it's not cheap. I mean, I think it's probably, I don't know what you have to do to get it, but it's, they don't just give out dealer's licenses to anybody. So that's how they're doing it. If you make money selling guns, you're now a dealer and you need a license and you have to get background checks on everybody who buys your guns. So it's over. I mean,
yeah, the gun show is anyway. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Remember the 911 call from the Vanderbilt protest where you needed a tampon change, immediately call an ambulance? It'll warm your heart to know. You probably know this already. Four of them were arrested. Three were expelled. One was suspended. And 22 were given some kind of discipline from the college. So we may be the turnaround here.
You know, I'm trying to, I don't remember the facts of that story.
They went into Vanderbilt University into the building that houses the chancellor's office. It's not supposed to be in there. They did a protest to sit in. They were told to leave. They couldn't leave. They had cops waiting for us, and they thought that the moment they went and left the building, they were going to be arrested. And they even thought the moment they were to stand up, they could have been arrested. But one girl there had a tampon in for several hours, and she needed to change it before she got toxic shock. You heard about toxic shock. Her friend calls 911 and says, I have a friend who needs her tampon change. And like, what are you talking about? And then she said, well, and then you hear a dude in the background go, what about toxic shock? And so she's like, do you want me to really send an ambulance down there? And she explained that, you know, if she stands up, she'll be arrested. Anyway, they finally you're getting people arrested. That's good. Expelled from school for this behavior. That's good. Suspended discipline. At Pomona College, they did the same thing. And the chancellor there said, you guys kiss my ass. She said, you got 10 minutes. If you're not out of here, you're going to be kicked out of school. And guess what? They all left.
Yeah, and I was just reading, there was another story today, and I can't remember the name of the college, where the student group is now suing because of the anti-Jewish behavior on campus and not doing anything about it. So, again, you know, I mean, and again, I still can't, you know, the number of Jew haters in this country is, where did they come from all of a sudden?
Yeah, at least we know who they are. They've outed themselves.
God. No idea. Thank goodness,
Hey, what do you make of the FBI director warning people, it's elevated threat, with something really bad is going to happen. We need more money. Give us more money.
What a confirmed perjurer. This guy's a disgrace. Christopher the Cossack Ray, suspected Russian double agent, in my opinion. The federal Gestapo of investigation. He's a confirmed perjurer. He's been lying forever. He lied about the whole thing with the going to school boards and the white people who complain about school. He lied about that. Oh, we never had anything to do with that. My ass, you did, and we got the memo. Dirty, stinking liar. By the way, it was his people who lied on the Russian collusion thing with the FISA court, which is why Donald Trump tried to get him to not do it, which they're not doing it so far, because they used it against a private citizen, including Donald Trump. And by the way, nothing ever happened to the guy. In fact, the guy who lied and changed the document became the head of the FBI in Washington.
Yeah.
And Christopher Wray also, when they asked him, you knew that the laptop was real, and yet when they, declined to see anything about it, and he said after the, this is long ago now, this just recently, he said, well, I didn't think it was fair that we would get involved in the political election because it might have affected the political election. That's the time when you do get the truth out. My God, how about telling the truth because it's the truth? You don't want people to do something based on the truth. You'd rather have them based on rumors and lies and the 51 people, and he knew those 51 people were all a bunch of lying scumbags, too, and he let that go through. I mean, this man is a disgrace. He's a freaking scoundrel. He ought to be in jail. And that business with the bomb makers at the scene of January 6th, the mostly peaceful Ashley Babbitt non-protest insurrection, non-insurrection, and he knew about those fake bomb makers, and the FBI agents were saying, you know, walking around seeing the bomb the guy was talking about, they let it go. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. He said, oh, no, we didn't have any agents on duty on January 6th. You lying scumbag. They were all over the place.
They're all the capital.
They were assets. They may not have been holding a badge saying I'm an FBI special agent, but they were your assets, you dirty, stinking liar. You had all this stuff going. Oh, my God. He's a disgrace, and it's got to go fast, and he ought to be in jail. He ought to be impeached immediately. And if we get somebody else in there for president, God, boom, bam, first day, it's over. What a disgrace.
Clean house. Amen.
Oh, God.
Who goes to OJ's funeral? Anyone?
Oh, they'll be mobbed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if I were around, I'd probably go to see what it was like.
Yeah.
Just the fascination of it. And can you, God, I wonder if he's going to have cars and cars and cars of flowers, like a mob funeral or something.
Or George Floyd funeral.
Broncos. Or Broncos. I mean, if everybody gets a white Bronco to go, oh my God, how funny would that be? I wonder if he could rent a white Bronco for a day for the funeral procession.
We should go there and just throw plastic knives.
Yeah.
Plastic knives.
Kimma, good to hear you guys. Pete, Flounder, love you guys. Miss you,
man.
Thanks for your time. Hi, brother.
Can't wait to talk to you again.
Good
next
to catch
week.
Up.
Be good down to Florida. Thanks, man. Talk to you later. Shannon Burke.
The Kimma. All right. We got to take a break. And when we return, we will get to your remarks from the Florida Man Radio app. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Man Radio.
Lion fighter guy. We might have to have a whole new segment called Inmate Mail.
It'd be awesome if we got a lot of them.
Everybody listens. They said we listen on our tablets. We hope the world watches this event. It'll be. He says this guy wants to fight a lion. He said, yeah, ever since your last show exposing my lion story as conflict deterrent, well, I'm washing dirty drawers now. Wouldn't that sort of kill the lion deal right there? I hope it's possible for it to get as big as I hope it can. He's really fired up about this thing. You know, I mean,
at this point, I wish I had some rich friends that could get over there and start backing this.
Yeah. He said they love to listen. A lot of guys there listen. We love the show. The station's great to say no strings show where you can say what the hell you think and believe without the mainstream common narrative that we all know is here all along. It took Trump 2 points to before the rest of the world would admit it. And that's why they hate him, blah, blah, blah. Hey, have a great show. Pitbull Paroles, Tia. What? Anyway. He wants to do a poll. How many listeners would watch the pay-per-view, him fighting a lion?
Again, I think a lot of people would.
I think so, too.
I mean, there is a reason that we have Brethren Circuses of Coliseum that was what people watched. You watched a guy fight a lion.
To certain death.
Yeah.
Are you not entertained? Let's get to remarks from the Florida Man Radio app. Powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats. Tons of archives there. They're commercial free. They go up right after the show. Hit the button at the bottom. You can talk to us. Here we go.
What's up, guys? Rary here. Great show. You know, I think you should be given a choice. If you're going to protest against America and you live in America, we're a free country, so we'll give you a choice. Choice number one, we'll deport you to any Muslim country of your choice. Choice number two, you go to jail for exciting hatred, speech, and terrorism. That's just my opinion.
Ray
out. Beedoo, yep. Beedoo.
Thank you.
Wouldn't that be something, government stepping in and preventing, creating laws for under a certain age to be able to use the internet? But, boy, they've sat with their mouths shut and done nothing but actually promote children who want to have sex changes.
On the internet, yeah.
True. And be trans and get rid of their wiener or... Wow.
Even though they are trying to work on that with the Kids Safety Online something or another act, that's that one where they're trying to basically make it tough for children. They have to be able to prove your identity on the online.
Right, the thing they signed here in Florida.
No, this is the more government one, which, by the way, is actually backed by a Democrat.
Wow.
Hey, guys. Yeah, Sam Bankman-Fried probably won't have to serve much jail time, and it'll probably be a really good return on his investment with what, you know, a stockpile of cash, God knows how much he's going to walk away with. And he'll probably be provided some kind of perverted sex for the rest of his life from these, you know, all those sex trafficker tycoons that he helped to fund and covered up, you know, helped him with his cover-up, beat him.
And maybe he's not with that homely sex addict girlfriend any longer, is she?
Oh, not for now, but back. You always head back to that.
Yeah, that freak.
You know she does some things.
Yeah, the famous white Ford Bronco of OJ's turned up on the show Pawn Stars a few years back. And the old man turned it down. He said, I don't want the juju associated with that truck. And they didn't buy it. But
there's no juju with that truck.
What did Jeffrey Dahmer say to OJ? Hey, man, you going to eat that?
Dude, who is this freaking dork that keeps calling about all this communist and Nazi stuff, dude? I mean, does this guy have a job? I mean, I'm on my break. I mean, I shouldn't be talking, but damn, I mean, this guy's got a lot of time on his hands, man.
Yeah, he's with very vague flyby, you know.
Al Cowlings was smashing Nicole Simpson for a while, too, so I wonder why OJ never took him out over the course of these years.
She was so hot. Whew.
Hey, Shannon T-Bone from Atlanta. I hope y'all are doing well today. Just looked up a picture of Bubba the Love Sponge. I've never seen him before. So two thoughts. Number one, he either looks like the lead singer from Smash Mouth or he looks like John Daly, the golfer. Can't really decide, but anyways, be-do, guys.
Sound like a little bit older pictures, too.
Yeah.
Easy, I'm Avery. So looking forward, Avery, to your bit on first-time committed crimes. I feel like I've never got the credit, Avery, for my work in the past. I believe it was, Avery, leaving the scene and non-reporting, Avery, experimental, Avery, over-the-land submersible vehicle. Avery. Yes, and Avery, not giving it. The Avery co-pilot, Avery, a courtesy tap. I ejected early, that's right. Imagine that, an Irish guy ejecting early.
Good Lord. You just called John Morgan a good guy. Or a stand-up guy. Or some kind of compliment. No way. Guy's garbage.
I know John as a friend. He's never, well, kind of, he didn't really represent me. He just sat down next to me and made the other side think twice.
Yeah. Like, is that John Morgan?
Oh, crap, John Morgan sitting with him. But I know he's a good guy, and I could call him a favor upon him if I needed. And he does a lot for this community, and he's why we have medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm. And he'll buy a bar around the shots, too.
He sure will. First time I met him, I'm at Fiddler's. Sitting out back where people used to smoke, and this limo pulls up, and the door opens, and four super hot chicks get out in short shorts and the matching bowling shirts, and then out comes John Morgan in the same bowling shirt, but he's wearing slacks. And he goes, oh, y'all met my bowling team yet? Come on.
You know, most groups have one fat friend because they're hilarious. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, that's a compliment. The fat dudes, fat chicks, whatever, they're always funny as hell. Good to have around.
I've never decided whether or not I was going to hang out with somebody based on what they weighed. You know? That's really...
You literally played a clip about how bad China is with your own commentary. I was pointing out how ignorant you are when it comes to the similarities of the laws and bans between Communist China and the Republican Party. Sorry for the confusion, dude.
China took everyone's guns.
Yeah, I like that he takes a clip of a woman that survived Maoist China and says that she doesn't know what she's talking about because she, who's come here and said that you guys are making the wrong decisions when it comes to liberal America, and it's very communist, and he's telling her she doesn't know what she's talking. The Republicans are the ones that are the communists.
Yeah, it's actually backwards. Does the guy actually understand? I don't think he really even understands politics at all. He calls me, I'm ignorant. Yeah. Let's compare degrees.
Yeah, yeah. We should, like, you know, bring back mooning. Yeah. Boing. Yeah. Your butt.
All right. Yeah.
I've smelled some nasty farts before, but I don't think I've ever smelled one that started a riot that killed 30,000 people. But
There's some nasty ones out there that make you mad when you smell them. I can see that happening.
We're learning which foods to give Chubbs and not, and treats it reactively. That sumbitch will clear a room where people, they don't even say anything.
Yeah, if you
they stand up and walk out.
Roman diet, it was bad. So that would have done some clearing of the room.
Welcome to hell. Because you lived in Las Vegas, you'll be rooming with Harry Reid. I'll show you the ropes. Breakfast ends 5 minutes before you wake up. Pilates torture starts at 10 a.m. sharp. Hey, look over there, LJ. It's the real killers. Made you look, you dumb ass. Well, you left a hell of a legacy, didn't you, Juice? Because of you, the Bills will never win.
Yeah, but he was great in Naked Gun, though.
Oh, my God. There's a real killers. Made you look. Good work.
Hey, yeah, I remember back when I was in college going to the clubs, and you'd always see a bunch of girls sitting at a table. And, of course, there'd always be one that was quite large, bigger than the rest, pretty much to make the other girls look better. And you're trying to go home with one of them, and that's where the wingman originated. You'd need to have somebody that would be willing to step up and go with the fat girl. Hey, they need loving, too. Be-do, be-do.
Well, it really shows the priorities of the people in charge when they want to go after pirated movies and TV streaming, but it's crickets when it comes to child pornography.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
How did she shoot the guy if she was handcuffed?
She was, one handcuff was on her hand or her wrist, and the other was to a chair. Yeah. She wasn't, both of her hands weren't handcuffed together. He handcuffed her to a chair. I made that completely clear.
Trying to look up that story for the grandma that shot the intruder. Here's a pro tip. Don't look up dirty, hairy grandma. You want to be what you're looking for.
I'm impressed she could handle a 357 Magnum.
Let me beat Liberal Larry to the punch on this one. Well, if that old lady didn't have a gun, she wouldn't have got shot 4 times if she just gave up all the valuables. You know, I mean, that's what you got to do in this situation. Man, I was listening to your story, and you said her son was asleep in the room, and I didn't hear nothing about him. I had to look up the story. He's disabled. Like,
yes.
I was like, well, what happened to the son? Six shots ring out. She lays for 10 hours.
She didn't want to wake
Man,
him
that's
up.
Crazy. That's crazy. That's a good grandma.
All right.
Right there.
Thank you very much.
Let me be.
Let me just shut you up for a minute. Jesus Christ. You really, I mean, this guy gets past the limit rule constantly. She didn't want to alert the a-hole that she had a special needs son sleeping in the other room.
Todd in Daytona, is that pistol packing granny looking to adopt people? Because damn, I want her for my grandma.
No kidding.
Beat it, beat it.
I bet she makes a mean meatloaf too.
Oh yeah, fried chicken.
Oh, the best.
Cast. She's got a good cast iron.
Wait, what happened?
I just had to say, I always wonder what happened to Ma after Any Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can. Apparently, she's still kicking ass. Ain't that great? Get off my porch, you degenerate.
That's a heavy weapon, too. Very heavy weapon.
And she got a kill shot with him.
Yeah, two. Or she didn't miss.
This is a 357 Magnum, you little punk. The most powerful handgun on the market. And I got Werther's and ass whoopings. And I'm all out of Werther's.
Werther's.
Hey, Shannon, it's Blind Lawrence again. That story out of Leavenworth, Kansas, where the woman was making the cookie and she lost her diamond ring in it. I actually used to live in Leavenworth, Kansas. I lived there for 5 years. And I just want to tell your audience that Leavenworth, Kansas absolutely sucks. There's nothing to do there. All they have is a military base, a couple of restaurants, and the infamous Fort Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary. Yeah. I lived 3.5 miles from there. The place is a joke.
They got a cookie place.
Yeah.
He was very specific. Yeah, I was in Leavenworth for a while, for 5 years. Hold on. What did you get sentenced
Blind
to?
Lawrence.
It's been so long. I.
Hey, guys. Yeah, O.J. Simpson. I just happened to pick up his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson's biography, I guess it was, or autobiography. I don't remember, but anyway, if you read that book, there would be no doubt in your mind that O.J. did it. I mean, he was a violent, jealous a-hole. He would beat her up, lock her in the closet, stuff like that. Yeah, I guess he's got some explaining to do right about now.
Yeah, that's why some of his old tweets are out there. And, you know, since he got out of jail, or since he got off murder, he's been just, hello, everybody. It's me, yours truly, O.J. Simpson. All right, buddy.
Narrow-minded people such as yourself always amaze me. There's no way O.J. Simpson was able to kill two people, get on a plane, and be happy, cover up all evidence, and they found no blood other than a drop in his Bronco, and you think the man somehow was able to kill those people. You aren't as smart as you think, Shannon. Okay.
How did they found a drop of blood that was from Nicole Brown, which how would they have a drop of blood in Nicole Brown in that vehicle that she was never in?
Yeah.
So the murderer had to have taken blood from her and had to deposit it in that vehicle.
I guess this guy is narrow-minded enough to think that the glove didn't fit because he was wearing surgical gloves underneath the glove. Yeah. I'm not saying, I think a majority of people believe that he's guilty. And they won the civil case. And he tried to sell a book called If I Did It, If I Really Did It, This Is How I Would Have Done It.
Hey, I wonder if that guy that jumped off the cruise ship drunk was thinking that he was a lot lower than what he was when he jumped off of there. And about halfway out, maybe he thought,
oh, crap,
I should have hit water by now.
Yeah. 18 stories.
I was just listening to the Cameron Pete and Flounder and Shannon, and what would be funny is that Joe Budden likes to sniff little kids' hair. I think it would be hilarious if everybody in the listening areas bought little baby bottles of Johnson baby shampoo and sent it to the White House. That would be funny.
That would be funny.
Man, I wish Cameron would just let it out, man. I mean, he keeps it all bottled up. You know, he just, no one knows what he's really thinking or what he's saying. I mean, he needs to quit editing himself and let it out, brother. I mean, one of these days he's just going to blow up if he keeps holding all this stuff inside of him. Prayers for Kimmer.
He's got a unique ability, the Kimmer, to give the most, they're great, but they're lengthy nicknames for people, you know?
He does.
Hillary is pea stinky fart cabbage. Joe's white trash. I forget all of the white trash baby touches sniff. You know, he's got, they're pretty damn funny.
OJ's funeral, anyone?
Hi, Shannon. Kathy from Orlando. I hope you have an AED in your office because this guest you have on your program sure is worked up.
Funny you say that. I think Kimmer did have some heart problems a long time ago, but they connect. He's not here. He's in another studio in Atlanta. We just connect with magical technology.
Hi, and next time you have Kimmer on, ask him about the brawl he almost got in with a protester at his remote the Friday before we went on vacation. It's a riot.
Yeah.
Be-do-be-do.
I recall that story.
Hey, Shannon. I just heard your new commercial on making erections great again. You know, I know you don't try, but you do a pretty good Trump. Love it.
My Trump is an animated Trump from a place of love, not, you know. Thank you.
Not sure how many people will show up for OJ's funeral, but
I'm pretty sure he was still close with his kids from his first marriage. So beyond that, I have no idea.
Howdy, guys. It's Nate in Bakersfield, California. Yeah, I think you can just go ahead and tell that Lion Fighter guy that you took the poll, and your audience is 100% to watch it, except for Kate and Liberal Larry.
We should do a poll. I'll do one. On X.
Hey, Shannon. I went to high school with a girl that ended up being a Los Angeles Rams cheerleader. She went on a couple dates with OJ and actually testified to his demeanor on the dates during the trial. It's pretty wild. Small town, Missouri.
Wow.
Beat-a-beat.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is the message for that son of a gun, Marlon. Freaking wrote me a check for $322 and it freaking bounced. And I can't get a hold of him. So if he can call in and make good on that debt, I'd appreciate it. He did some damage at one of the hotel rooms that he used my name on, and I had to pay for it. And he swore he'd pay me back. Beedoo beedoo.
I never hit a woman, but I think about punching that Liberal Larry bitch in the face.
I feel bad for Chubbs. He doesn't know he's got a stinky butt. Just like our dog Butch, who had the stinkiest farts and liked to sleep underneath the covers. Oh, my Lord. I love that dog, though.
It's kind of funny that you brought up guns, because Trump literally banned guns at the NRA conference that he spoke at.
No one at the NRA conferences, they don't allow guns in the...
Also, Trump, who has Secret Service protection, Secret Service will not allow you to bring a gun there.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, well, there's a former president around. Like, Trump is known for wanting to ban guns.
Okay, I mean, let's go to all the other places. Disney bans guns. Are they communists?
Yes, they are. Oh, that they is are, communist. Yeah, that's what they are. Mm-hmm. Disney will not. Why can't people take a gun in there? Why not? Larry.
Hey, do you think that glove will fit now on OJ? I bet it will.
John Morgan's the biggest Democratic donor in Central Florida. I would never, if I get into an accident, never hire this guy. He's a huge, big-time Democratic donor.
All right. What? If I really did it, this is how I would. Why would that bother you? If you knew the guy, if you met the guy, you'd really want to hang out with him. He's a lot of fun. I don't care that he's a Democrat.
Also, the amount of people that he has made money for and gotten off of crimes if I had the money for him to get him, I probably would.
Yeah.
OJ is a moron. He was acquitted of murder. He should have left the country immediately, never to come back again, and live a fabulous life of luxury. And instead, he committed that stupid crime in Vegas and ended up going...
All right, we know the story.
Hey, if you're going to send that Johnson's baby oil to the White House, whatever you do, do not deviate and decide to send Johnson's baby powder instead. I think that might get you in trouble.
The problem is it never makes it to the White House. All the gag, ha-ha, you're a dick, whatever mail is ditched, where it arrives at a different address. They go through it, make sure it's safe. They take all the bad stuff out so his feelings aren't hurt, and then they send it over.
Which is a shame, because I would just like the thought of Biden sitting at his desk. Opening up the envelope.
I got another baby shower. It's good.
Or is that like potato? Send someone you hate a potato. It's like, oh, I got a potato.
You don't just get a funeral. Somebody has to throw one for you. I don't think he's going to have a funeral.
All right. I bet he will.
I guess the juice is cooked. The juice is no longer loose.
Hey, Liberal Larry. How many guns you think were inside that Chick-fil-A in Atlanta? Beep-a-boop.
Quick question, real short. I wonder what Liberal Larry actually eats. Like food, like. I'm just curious, is he a meat eater or a vegetarian?
No.
Something's definitely not right with his head, so I'm assuming he probably only eats like.
That wasn't a quick question, sir.
Or something weird like that.
Those are the remarks for today's program. Thank you very much for leaving them. They're powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. We'll take a final break here, and come back to wrap it up for you. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Video.
That's a very good point. Who are the next two? They come in threes, and does it have to be with OJ? It could be from the sports world or the, I mean, I guess you could say he was an actor, right? He was in a couple of movies.
Actors or murderers.
Ooh.
So.
Heather, any ideas?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
So, you know, they say these deaths of notable people come in threes after OJ. Ooh. Any predictions? God, I pray it's not Gene Hackman. I saw a picture of him and walking around in Santa Fe. Man, one of my favorite actors in the world, and he's not looking good.
Yeah, he's just not looking good.
Yeah. No ideas? You don't want to say it because
I don't have any ideas.
Because if they do die, you'll be horribly guilty.
Yeah,
you'll
feel terrible. It'll be all guilt. My fault. I'll feel terrible.
I'll have to check and see what the dead pools are at right now.
Is there are there pools like out there on
there's websites that you can go and
like make money?
Or
just put, get
just,
in the pool.
You know, get in the dead pools.
Well, that guy dies with a hell of a legacy. Well, a legacy, not a
infamy.
Yes, definitely infamy. I think he thought, though, in his own mind at the very end there, that he was all good and it's all free and clear. The only thing he ever did wrong was try to get his very own Heisman back, and he was very sorry about that. He served his time. All the rest was just a misunderstanding, and, he was...
Cosby. Keep an eye out for Cosby.
Oh, yeah. He's on the list. Let's try to wind that out tomorrow. That's for us. That's the end for us. Thank you. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you to this killer audience. Is that for a couple of years? back tomorrow, 2 Eastern, 1 Central, after the hysterically funny Don Miller, and unbelievably insightful. Don follows Bubba the Love Sponge, a national treasure, literally. I think it's listed somewhere. And CVS Pharmacy's number one customer. We'll see you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. My name is Shannon Burke. Have a good night.